Broadcasting live from the Don and Mike Building, 3 FM, 106.7 WJFK,
Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Right. Me.
It's always about you, isn't it?
Yeah. You bet your ass it is.
Me.
No, that was just warming up. That was my pre-show warm-up. This is the pre-show, right?
Yes, and how about you, Fidel? I'm here. I'm ready. Let's go.
Look at Mr. Olive Boy.
Yes.
It's
the guy,
Olive Drab,
you know,
Man.
If Fidel Castro shaved his beard, put on puka shells and clogs, he'd be wearing the exact uniform you have on today.
That's our plan.
If he was a shaven hippie, that is what Fidel Castro would look like.
That's how we're readying for the invasion.
What's that?
Fidel.
And incidentally, feel free to mock me. You know, if Mike Ditka happened to walk into the studio from 20 years ago,
yes,
he might be wearing some of the fashions I'm wearing today.
He might.
It's your style. You dress like a football coach.
Because I look like a retard.
But you've always fancied yourself as the coach of this operation, have you not? You dress the part today. I mean, seriously, you're over on the sidelines calling the plays.
Right, coach.
So you're not really on the sidelines. You're kind of a player coach.
Player. Right. Players Club. Player.
Tahoe. The Caribbean. Atlantic City. Reno. All the fabulous spots. Okay. Not to mention our Native American friends.
Now, normally on Friday,
yes,
we have Joe say something.
Yes, normally.
Joe is still
wait a minute.
On probation.
I'm the last person that should be defending Joe, but last week you said you would, at the end of the show, you said you would let him do that.
You said it would.
And you know what that resulted in? That resulted in my entire drive home. I was in tears. Just kidding.
Well, the suspension is rolled over. The probation is rolled over for one more week.
Is that due to any recent infractions?
Something happened?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not really.
Walked by his desk or his little cubicle, and I just see covered with reds.
But coach, you said.
Yeah, cigarette. Yeah. No, come on now.
Load it up for the weekend.
Bear with me.
Hello?
Hello.
There he is.
Joe.
Now we
are you prepared?
Yes, I am.
All right, well then, let's take away his other privileges and give him some new privileges this week only.
Okay.
Hi, Mike. Long time no talk. Just wanted to stick my head in and say hello.
Hello.
Unlike Joe, I can work with you.
Thank you.
I can really work with you.
Okay, slow down.
If you know what I mean.
You slow down,
and
you.
I know what
I
mean.
I think you do. Joe is still on probation.
Wow.
So, no weekend is here, have a can of beer, bullshit.
Oh, my.
And since he's on probation, he is going to present Groaners.
No!
But not just Groaners.
No.
Joners.
Ah.
Get it? Joners.
Wow.
Because Joe is reading them. Mike, do you get it?
Yes, I get it.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah. Happy effing Friday to me.
Yes, for you, yes.
Another great one. And the great
Hi, Don.
Hi.
A great Friday and a great month.
All right, Joe.
A happy month.
Completely lame groaners. What cosmetic product do Muslim women prefer?
What, you idiot?
Mascara.
Mascara.
What is the best Donor. Event to wear a burqa to?
What?
Where?
A masquerade party. What country in South Africa has the largest population of hookers?
I don't know who.
Mozambique.
Mozambique.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Joe.
I am fed up of your hissy attitude. You resigned publicly in front of them. I think this lot here are sick to death of you. I'll decide whether we want you back in this competition in 30 minutes. I don't want to hear any more from you.
So, Joe, maybe next Friday, all the kids will be able to pop their tops at 3 Eastern, 12 noon West Coast time.
Right.
Okay. So you're dealing fine with the suspension?
Sure.
And how's the blood pressure?
It's normal.
Are you still taking your medication?
I have elected to do so.
You've elected to do so.
Shocker.
Remember, medicines can't help you if you don't take them right.
I take it every morning.
That's good. Good boy. You want to go ahead and just throw it out? Just what Robbie?
I was going to ask, what medication is it? What's it called?
I don't know. It's like the very lowest dosage of some obscure something.
It's unusual for Joe not to know his farm.
Called rat poison.
Sure, I'm glad I asked the question.
I mean, there's not much to it, so...
It doesn't do anything.
Skull and crossbones on the box.
Mr. Yagi.
That's right.
Yeah, it's got this green face frowning at me. I figure it must be good.
All right, you big dummy. Go ahead and say it.
The weekend is here! Have a can of beer!
Okay. We're not playing your jingle.
Fine.
That'll learn you. Okay. Goodbye.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello?
Hang up, you big dummy.
I thought you guys always hung up on me first.
Do we always hang up on him?
Usually.
Not always. Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
True or poo-poo?
Huh?
True or poo-poo. You can stay on the line as long as you answer correctly. True or poo-poo?
Okay.
The Japanese love vending machines so much, they have vending machines at the top of the famous Mount Fuji.
True.
Yes. That is true.
He stays on the line.
Joe.
Yes.
True or poo-poo? If you have a dream where you're peeing, it means you're afraid of getting caught in a lie.
Poo-poo.
He's two for two. Look at him go.
Right again. Joe.
Yes.
Thanks to the Mormons, there are no Starbucks in Utah.
Poo-poo.
Oh, he's right again.
Yeah. Three for three.
Joe. Checkers was an Olympic sport in 1900. Joe.
True.
He did well, but
you're out of
his
there.
Time
it's
is
pretty
up.
Damn good for Joe. Yeah. On True or Poo-Poo. Bye-bye.
Charlie Sterling-Savlak said that it was an Olympic event.
Well, now you know you don't always listen to Charlie.
Please do not ad-lib, Joe. You're just barely working your way back into the good graces here.
Okay.
You just did very well on True or Poo-Poo.
That point.
Very, very well. Joe?
Yes?
True or Poo-Poo? One of the rules for being a Japanese kamikaze pilot was that you were not to fly your mission if you were suffering from diarrhea.
Poo-poo.
Sorry. Fact.
That is a fact?
Why would it matter?
You cannot fly in two boats without diarrhea.
Joe.
When you're flying on your mission, your butt makes any mission.
Diarrhea.
Oopsie.
Champagne gets you drunk faster than regular wine.
True.
Carbonation. Right. You knew that right. Buzz.
Junior Mints can offer temporary breathing relief for asthma patients.
Sounds true.
Oh, that's poopy. That's
everybody likes a Junior Mint.
They're great for blood pressure.
That's poopy poops. Hey, Joe.
Yes.
An armadillo can hold its breath underwater for 6 minutes.
Poo-poo.
True. You're getting killed at the
I'm dying here.
You're poopy. Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Before tampons were introduced, many women in rural areas used baby corn cobs.
True.
It sounded right. It did. Really did sound legit.
And happen. Finally, because this is just like right out of some morning zoo, I apologize. But I've got about 5,000 of these dumb things. Joe, elephants excrete about 100 pounds of excrement a day.
Poo-poo.
True.
True.
Oh, I'm getting slammed now.
Yeah.
100 pounds a day. Okay, well, thanks for playing. We'll send you the home version of True or Poo-Poo.
Yes.
And stand by for Gambit.
On most of these CBS stations.
Okay, goodbye.
Good day.
You feel better now?
Yes.
You got to say your thing?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Joe. Joe?
Yes?
Do you feel better now?
Yes.
Good.
Okay, goodbye, Joe.
Bye.
Okay, hang up, Joe.
Okay.
Okay.
And so do I.
So do you what?
Feel better.
It's February.
Everybody has a laughing place. A laughing place.
Why don't you like Joe, huh?
I just can't work with him.
I'm on the second bear.
There you go. That's right.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
2 and 6, 1 and 5, noon and 4. Check your local.
The Don and Mike Show.
Listening things.
Hello!
That's right. I'm going to go land on Waffle Houses.
Sorry, I don't know what happened.
What are you doing? You play the drums?
Playing the drums on the microphone.
Wild. Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, hi there.
Yeah.
Hello.
Right. Hello.
Southern Rockers. 38 seconds.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hello!
Hold on loosely. Here we go. Let's bring in the sad clown.
You really tightened those nice jeans, young man.
How's your wrinkly reed?
How's your Jackie Stallone?
And I'd like a shout-out to all the senior citizens at my barbershop today. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Copacabana and all the ships at sea. Two old radio bus budgets, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, proud of that. Thank you, Rob. Yeah. A nice haircut.
Different.
Hard to believe that the boy was late for work coming in today. When it appears that you get your haircut at the School for the Blind.
I don't know what Malcolm did. He changed the size of my shelf.
Now, what marine base do you go to get that haircut?
I go to the Fairfax Barber Shop.
Don't you go to a barber college, really?
No. I go to the same grumpy old man every time, but he's changed the size of my shelf.
Really?
Yeah, well, look at it. It's different.
It's a little more narrow.
Yeah. It's
narrower. Doesn't look like he gets his hair cut at an old people's barbershop.
But I will say this,
I get jokes, Buzz.
Not colored.
Isn't that your motto?
That's right. Precisely. In all manner of life.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Rob just got a bad haircut, and it's a, who am I to say? Well, I got eyes. It's a bad haircut. And it's a Friday.
Friday!
02-24-06.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Buzz is just fine. You can call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636 or 800-636-1067. Or if you're listening in Washington on WJFK, you can call us at 202-432-1067. We're on iTunes.
Right.
The podcast is available there. Go to iTunes. Go to Talk Radio. If you want to hear us on the intronet, just go to our website, DonAndMikeWebsite.com, and click on the stream and... Today, Mike,
that is chocolatey good.
Totally, totally edible.
Look at that. That seriously looks like something out of Willy Wonka.
Are those marshmallows?
Oh, I'm not sure now.
No.
Is that cheese?
Hold on.
Chocolate doesn't go with cheese, does it?
Oh, yes, it does.
I don't think it was cheese. Let me turn the stream back on.
It's brown.
Uh-huh.
And there's one right there.
Guys, it's corn.
Oh, no.
Now, hold on.
Chocolate corn chowder.
It's candy corn. Leftover from Halloween. What a great stream it is today. You know what you can do? There you go. Take the internet stream and do what I do and pour it into ice cube trays.
And then what you do is you have a party later, and you make mixed drinks, and there's all kinds of things that are floating around. Or even better, if you got the kids around, nothing better than making internet streamsicles for them.
Or you could try Donnie's famous chocolate quarantinis. They're delicious. Extra yummy.
Get you liquored up.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. So here you go, kids. Lick, lick, lick.
Ooh, yummy.
Now, who wants a drink? And you can say that to adults as well when they come to your house.
Yeah. And you can spike it like any good food product. You can always spike it.
Right.
Sure, but most times there are so many toxins in our internet stream anyway that something's gonna you're gonna grow a third arm or one of your nipples is gonna fall off or something's gonna happen if you drink it. What's great is, as I mentioned, get some ice cube trays.
Right.
Take the internet stream and then have a party with your friends. And it's almost like back in the good old Jerry Garcia days where you would take a trip. Because as people would have the drinks, things start to happen to them because of all the toxins in our internet stream.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Grind up some mushrooms in there.
Good for you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. How are you today?
Hey, we're doing very well, thank you.
Two-point statement here. First of all, I wanted to thank you. I just got out of the hospital. And every day between the hours of 3 and 7, my wife would bring in a radio so that I could listen to you guys. It was the only happiness in my days between the...
Wonderful.
The hurtful urinations.
We hear that a lot.
Oh, yes. And second, Don, you really irk me every single day when you say, or 2 to 6, or 1 to 5. And you also bother me every time you say verboten. So why don't we cut back on that, buddy?
So he goes right from a compliment to an insult.
What were the things that I didn't even totally hear? What was it that he was complaining about?
Well, you know when you play Special Agent Jack Bauer saying this takes place from 3-7.
He doesn't like the alternate time zone.
You mean you're like...
I don't like how every day you...
Why were you in the hospital?
For high blood pressure.
High blood pressure.
Oh, now that's a gusher. Look at that.
Next year, urination's really good.
That is a gusher.
Coming out of the... That's right. Well, you got to say now. Hey, how's that high blood pressure right now? What's the little girl want to say?
Gonna make you cry? Gonna make you cry? Gonna make you cry?
Look at the little girl over there. Don't like between 3 and 7.
You need the basketball.
He didn't
you need the basketball to bounce it off his chest.
He didn't like verboten either.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody. He's not complaining now.
Hey, you little bitch.
Not complaining now.
Has the high pressure now. You bitch. What, you bitch?
Oh!
That one knocked him out of bed.
Wow.
That's some fun.
You know, normally it takes the gun to kill somebody. We killed him with the phone that time.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I want to let you guys know that you successfully make me vote in my mouth just about every day with that stream.
We make you what in your mouth?
Vomit.
A little burp vomit?
Oh, yeah. Love the show. Love the intro. Don't give me the phone. You successfully make me vomit every day.
And you enjoy that?
Thank you.
Good.
Very good. Yes.
Okay, goodbye.
No need to punish there.
Goodbye.
No need whatsoever. He's doing it right.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy, pal, friend.
How are you? I missed some shows a couple weeks ago, so I've been listening to the podcast. And then listening to the news shows this week, and I'm just wondering, Don, do you stitch your bald spot? Stitch your bald spot?
He was not amused.
Too old.
Right.
Too
I
old.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, it would have been okay.
Yes. Yeah, when the wound was fresh. Uh-huh. When the wound was fresh. When all the wounds were fresh.
Yes. Yes.
Two weeks ago.
So many wounds.
Yes.
Now I'm back just to the one Band-Aid, incidentally, on the back of my head. The stitches are gone, and there's virtually no scar.
Right.
But the reason that I'm still wearing a Band-Aid back there is that it's like kind of like the soft spot on a baby's head a little bit. And also, it's going to be a long, agonizing process.
Right.
For the bit of hair that they had to shave away.
To come back.
To grow back.
Because in that particular region of your head, that's where hair struggles a little bit more than normal.
It's totally struggling. I don't know if it's the Shiites or the other ones. It's whatever side is losing.
The Sunnis and the Shiites are up there having quite a struggle.
Yeah. They're having a big fight for power on the top of my head. And the Baldies have been winning now.
Now, you're not wearing a Packer Band-Aid today, are you?
No.
It's a regular flesh-colored Band-Aid.
That's right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, this is your willpower. Hey. I've been drinking since Wednesday.
Hey, no,
I'm going to go end my life now Why'd you leave me, you butt?
Oh, listen, Willpower. I was back last night. I didn't watch American Idol last night. I promise you, I did not watch it.
But that one night you left me.
Okay, get over it, Willpower.
No.
Get over it.
Willpower.
Get over it. No, I didn't watch it. Now, I can't say that I'm not aware of what happened.
Of course.
Because when I watched the news this morning on Fox 5, seriously, here's the order of the stories this morning.
Okay.
On Fox News. On the Fox. Here in D.C.
You were obligated to turn the news off when that came up.
First is, gee, do you believe it, that there's been so much fog and bad weather that in the last day and a half there have been three fatal Cessna plane crashes right around Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the first one.
All right.
Then they say, and Tony Perkins says, we're going to have very windy conditions. And here's the girl with the traffic.
Right.
But now, before anything else, here's exactly what happened on American Idol last night. I mean, it's 2 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Right.
And that's their lead. And I got to see, in 30 seconds, what I guess everybody else wasted 2 hours on last night.
Right.
It was an hour.
1 hour.
1 hour? Might as well have been two.
With one hour show.
Seems like two.
That's it. Anyway.
We have verification. I'd like to see a videotape of that newscast to make sure that you didn't you just sneak in and watch the show last night. That you're not like a closet viewer.
You know what you should do some morning?
Mm-hmm.
Log, I guarantee, if you turn on Channel 5
right.
between, I don't know, like 6 and 9 in the morning.
You're asking me to break a lifelong habit of Harrison and Krebs.
I know you're loyal to your favorite wake-up crew.
The absolute geniuses of morning television.
But once they break away on NBC4, once they break away for the Today Show, go to Channel 5.
Right.
And I guarantee every day you'll hear one of two things. Within a 15-minute block,
sure,
you will either hear them talk about, promote, tease, show what happened, show what might happen,
right.
Show who's going to be coming up for American Idol, and Holly Morris will also be somewhere wearing a ridiculous Snow White outfit.
And an apron.
Skating with Disney on Ice
right.
while she's learning about the hobbyist who enjoys train tracks in his house that go all the way from his attic down to his basement.
Yeah. Well, the only disappointment I had with American Idol was that the crooner was not voted off the show. The other decisions, I believe, were just. So I'd like to say, on behalf of myself and Rob, I don't know whether you agree with me or not, thank you, America, for being so astute in your first week of judging. Yeah. Sometimes America makes mistakes, but I think they were pretty well spot on last night when made their decisions as to who to vote off.
Wouldn't know, didn't see it.
The weird girl that sang with a high-pitched voice, she's out of there, I'm glad.
I agree. I'm sorry to see Bobby go. I thought he would have been more entertaining.
Bobby was the guy with the big eyebrows and the fat humming.
I didn't even see it. I already know. He's the fat guy that sang Copacabana. Mm-hmm. The chick that was good-looking, the Maxim girl, she got voted off. A girl with no talent, very ugly, got voted off. And the other guy got voted off. The guy who looked like a handyman.
But the gnome.
And every man.
The gnome stayed.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
The everyman. He was the professional lounge singer.
I even know he sang the Melissa Etheridge song.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Through my window.
Right.
There you
right.
go. Come to my window.
Come into my window.
Okay, step away, please.
Did you know that?
Did I know about
what
which?
Don just said?
No, I did not.
Well, my key doesn't
work. You, in my opinion, are a purist.
I don't turn to Fox for my news.
You are a purist.
Perhaps my problem.
Mike, I also happen to know that...
See, anyone that was really protesting Idol would say, I don't need this, and he'd skip to something else. But deep down, within your soul, there is an interest in American Idol.
You must understand this.
Because it would be one thing to
loyal.
Know it.
I am loyal. Say whatever you will about me. And I swear to God, I am loyal like a friggin' dog. I watch Channel 5.
Right.
I watch Lard McCarthy. I watch... Michael, what's his name? Guido, the Italian guy that they sent over to the Vatican, who just about made it in his pants every day because he couldn't believe that stinking Channel 5 sent him to Italy.
Right.
I watch Tony Perkins.
Right.
Right. I watch the big fat chick with the weather. I watch with the traffic, with the local traffic. I watch the hot chick up in the Skyfox. Mm-hmm. I mean, I watch. I've just given them a fabulous commercial.
You have, in fact.
I watched
But you have also indicated to us that you are the master of the remote. And
yes.
You have the remote constantly in your hands, and therefore, when the American Idol recap came on, you would continue your protest and flip on to another channel.
May I say that for the last 2 weeks, Channel 5 has had a decided advantage in my morning viewing. Because for me, the Today Show is not an option.
How can anyone have an advantage over Krebs and Harrison?
Mike, I don't. That early stuff doesn't count for me. Morning TV really doesn't start till 7. Okay? That's when you got your big ones on.
Right,
that's
right.
When you got your biggies go on.
Right.
But 4 is not even a... As long as they're doing the Olympics, I'm not going to turn on the Today Show. Because I know that Cheney could go out in front of the White House and shoot 8 people in cold blood, and their lead would be... Sarah Hughes or Emily Hughes took a tumble but won the gold, and what a spunky young lass she is.
So they would ignore the news of the day, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so for the last 2 weeks, that's one morning television option that's not been there for me.
Right. Are you still holding out the chance that you, are you still reserving the option to join the viewers of American Idol?
Am I a hypocrite? Come on. Does the Pope ass in the woods?
You're keeping your options open, but I don't see you heading back.
Of course. Yeah, but I didn't feel the need last night.
Right.
Didn't feel it. Didn't,
Well, 4 of them are gone now.
Didn't go there.
4 of them are gone now, and,
Don't go there.
It's a highly entertaining program.
Turned on Survivor for a second. Whew. Boy, what a garbage fest that show is.
Survivor, I mean, is that where they're having the isolation island now?
I don't even know. It's too confusing. It was like...
You know, they're still generating them. Have you seen some of the promos? They're still generating the new reality shows that are coming up.
Sure. I just turned it on for a second, and Probst was wearing his, Banana Republic stuff and telling them whatever the dumb challenge was, and it was just like, okay, goodbye, goodbye.
Right.
Goodbye. And now the TNT is in high def, finally, if you have DirecTV.
Right.
Last night, I don't even know who was playing. It could have been the Harlem Globetrotters playing the Washington Generals, but I watched it in high def because it was basketball in high def.
Right.
Did you see the ad for the reality show? Is it called Unanimous?
Unanimous. That's it.
Where it looks like they lock like 100 people in a basement. And that's it.
It really looks. It looks like Big Brother without rules.
Is it like 12 angry men times 10?
I think it's 12 angry fat men. And
they're all I know. And this is how they get you with old Fox. It's a Fox show, right?
Of course it is.
They have a fat guy crying.
Yeah.
They have a fat guy crying, and it just looked like something I wanted to. There you go.
In fact, it
may have been 2 fat guys crying.
It'll be good for about 15 minutes.
And there's some other show about inventions that's coming on.
Oh, yeah. We saw the. Yes, for that in the office today.
They're not stopping.
No, of course they're not. Because they're cheap.
Yes.
I mean, they're cheap to produce. They're cheap to put on the air.
And they're all edited the same way. You know, they all have the same little crane.
That's why even last night when I was flipping around, really when I was just doing anything I could to avoid American Idol.
Right. And really hurting yourself by that.
I even stopped on Dancing with the Celebrities for a second.
Now that I just, based on Stacey Keibler, I'd like to look in on that.
I watched The Greatest Receiver of All Time. You know, how embarrassing this is to watch.
He's one of the finalists.
Watch Jerry Rice. But then I'm thinking for a second, well, okay, maybe I get part of the excitement. There's a great athlete really making an ass out of himself. He's doing the best that he can.
Right.
But here's where he loses me. Right away, the format is just like American Idol, where it's the one guy who goes, well, that was not bad, and the chick in the middle that likes everything. Mm-hmm. And then the eccentric Italian guy on the left-hand side is, Mamma mia, papa pia, baby got the diarrhea, you stinky, stinky, stinky.
Right.
You know, yuck, seen it.
Well, then, so you just hopped around in frustration all night, or?
That's why I went to the Globetrotters game on TNT.
That's the Globetrotters.
I don't know who
always good. Curly Neal, always good for a laugh.
I don't know who it was. I just know that this gets to be the time of the year, February, March.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I'm really glad the NBA plays 8,000 games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad. Otherwise, I'd be out of my freaking mind. I'll watch Golden State play, I don't know, the Orlando Magic. I'll watch it.
And all the Globetrotters games.
You know what I'll watch?
Of course, yes.
You know, there's a good game usually.
I'm a big Curly Neal fan.
I know.
There's usually a really good game about 2 nights a week. It's Cowell versus Abdul.
Now,
and sometimes Jackson gets into the mix, too.
If they really fought, I'd watch.
Well, there was hitting.
There was
hitting last night as she did her little punch to Simon's right shoulder.
Yeah.
Ouch. Oh, Simon. Yuck.
And if you want to really enjoy Abdul, catch her on night number 2. because I believe, I always say, well, it could be that, Rob, but I think it's more like farms.
You think?
I think that's when the meds really kick in, because she'll speak in sentence fragments saying, you good to star big dick.
Like that.
I think that she sits there, where's Paula Abdul 10 minutes before showtime with a big glass of water and two horse pills?
I don't know. It's all past me, but I'm glad that you enjoy it. And
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lay my life down for it, but I certainly, it's a good diversion in a crappy time of year.
Yeah, whatever.
I lay my life down.
I know you would, boy. And why wouldn't you? With that haircut. No wonder.
I know.
No wonder. You know, they did cut your hair shorter than they normally do.
It's the shelf. It's the flat part.
Okay, now Rob wants to have like a traditional flat top crew cut.
Right.
Right? And you're saying they left too much on
No, no. I'm saying that the flat.
You got more hair on your chin than you do on your head right now.
Well, thank you, I think.
Well, you've grown. You're growing your beard out.
Yes, I am.
And you've got, flat top.
The flat part is smaller than normal.
Yes, it's the.
In the seasons of a man's life, that would be a sad time. When you had more hair on your face than on your head.
But it is at this stage of the game for him, to be fair, it is by choice. If he grew, he still got enough where he could grow it out.
Oh, yeah, hold on. I forget when he had that bet when he looked like a Bigfoot.
Right.
Right, when you were paying him not to grow his hair.
Not to grow his hair, and it grew super long.
He still.
No, he can't afford it.
But he does have a bald spot that is rivaling mine as the biggest on the show.
It is, you know what, and now when you shave it that closely, you can see it.
You want to go for a measurement?
Well, right now I'm a little sensitive up there and everything. But next week, sure.
All right, good, all right.
Sure, if you want to measure bald spots, sure. And while you're at it, how about balls?
I mean, I'm not coming in.
I'm just getting back to the whole Liddy thing.
Yes. Yes, sirree. Measure those.
Measure them.
Measure them.
Yeah. Well, hey, Robbie? Next week when I wear my Batman suit in.
Yeah, okay.
We'll measure our bald spots that day.
You'll have to be Bruce Wayne when we do that.
What a great fantasy that'll be.
Okay, Alfred.
Thank you.
Wow.
You got it. So I'm off to Minneapolis this weekend to help my daughter and her family move into their new house.
Yes.
They moved from one level of suburbia to another level of suburbia. Right. And
a little more space.
Oh, yeah. Like a nice big backyard for the grandkids and everything.
Wonderful.
And I think that this is probably going to be the first time. Now, keep in mind, you know, when I talk about Amy, that for the longest time, and I won't get into all the specifics, you know, I didn't know what was up with her, literally.
Right.
As I've mentioned before, I didn't know. I thought she was dead. I mean, there was, like, no contact and bad information. So this has all just been rekindling with this woman, my daughter, for about 8 months since Frida passed away.
Right.
And we've gotten past the point where it's like nice, polite with each other, and we very honest, sweet girl, and I love her, and we're getting along great. I'm afraid it's this weekend that she's really going to find out just what a lazy son of a bitch I am.
Ah.
That I love the fact that I'm going to be going up to see her and see my grandkids.
Right.
I'll be damned. If I just know me. I know me, and I know that they have three kids, and there's a lot of crap that has to be moved around.
A lot of heavy lifting?
Yeah, and I think
You can play the rib card.
Yeah, but really, my ribs are really okay.
I know you're getting around a little bit better, but I mean, when push comes to shove,
you're really okay.
Make sure you keep that bandage on your head.
And she was...
I got a bigger one.
That's mainly cosmetic right now.
You know, somebody says, hey, could you give us a hand with this TV stand? And then you just reach to your head and go, oh.
Now, but she tells me that that they're pretty much all moved in and there really won't be much to do.
Right.
Which means that there's a very good chance that there really is a lot to do, that she's just being nice and trying to...
Right.
You know, and what I would really like to do, my ideal weekend would be I'd fly up and... Well, you can relate to this, Mike, being a single dad.
Right.
I'm going through, I think, kind of what you do with these grandkids. What I would like to do is just pick them all up, take them to the Mall of America.
Right.
Whatever it is, and say, you know, hey,
anything you want,
ice cream.
Go crazy. You know what? You want Grandpa to shut this place down for you? Let's shut it down.
Right. And then have the packages all delivered the day after you leave.
Yeah, whatever it is, you know. You want Santa to come back after Christmas? Yes, do it. What? Want it? Got it. Yes. Hamburger? Got it. Johnny Rockets? Got it. Yes. Video games? Got it. Okay.
And then the whole car loaded up with cotton candy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Just wall-to-wall cotton candy.
About 10 minutes before you're ready for the big drop-off.
And then
you blow town.
And then I'm out. And then I'm out of here.
Right.
Hold on a second.
This just in.
Tony, excuse me. Tony Perkins from Fox Channel 5.
Yes.
Just called in. He was on a cell phone.
Did not want to go on the air.
Wants to confirm. Who took this message?
I don't know. It was handed to me from the front desk.
Wants to confirm to Mike that Don was right. This morning at 8 a.m., Channel 5 did lead with American Idol results. Uh-huh. And also, thank you, Don, for the big commercial.
Now I feel guilty.
You're very welcome, Tony.
Now I feel very guilty.
Even though I didn't go to college with you like Mike did.
You didn't graduate with him like I did.
I do watch you every morning on TV.
Class of 81. Hi, Tony. Yeah. How you doing, brother? I am sorry. I will watch now.
I'm sorry.
And I was, you know, I certainly hope he understands that when I'm making my comments about Krebs and Harrison, that the tongue is firmly planted in the cheek.
Listen, don't even start
because you know what I said to you in the office.
Before the show, Mike said to me.
The worst television I have ever seen.
Mike said, when it comes to morning TV,
all right.
Nobody's got chemistry like Joe Krebs and Barbara Harrison.
Okay. He's always said that. It was.
Mike said they are spectacular.
This is the worst
television. I think you said you wish that they were on Dancing with the Stars.
Absolutely.
Right?
I'm switching over. How much time do you log with old Channel 5 in the morning now? I'm ready to make a change because I'd like to change.
You ripped the knob off.
It's all, even when I go downstairs on the treadmill and listen to the iPod, mm-hmm. I still have the TV on. It's just muted with the closed captioning.
Right. So I watch it.
Sorry, Tony.
Yeah. And if you watch Channel 5...
Tony's just too good. I mean, Tony's network and Tony's back in town. And you know, I just love the local flavor. You know, it's kind of like watching a car accident when you watch Channel 4. It really is. Yeah. You can watch Harrison for five minutes. If you watch for 5 minutes, I guarantee it. I make this guarantee. You will hear a mistake.
Okay. Uh-huh. And I was just going to say to you... That's why we are so good together, because our half-brains merge. I was just going to say to you... For every flub, and that's the word I was going to use.
Do you call it a fluff or a flub on TV?
A flub is, I'd call it, for every time she can't read a teleprompter.
Right.
For every time she mumbles something, for every time that she is asked to ad-lib something as simple as, how's the weather, and she can't seem to get it out of her goddamn cotton-packed mouth.
Right.
For every time that Barbara Harrison makes a mistake like that.
Yes.
On Channel 5,
uh-huh.
You have Holly Morris.
Okay.
Up to her knees in cow manure.
Right.
Or skating backwards. Or wearing wedding dresses. And the whole time.
Or in
time,
front of a bunch of chafing dishes.
And the whole time, no matter where she is.
Yeah.
Screaming like a maniac. It's like she was inside a high school.
Right.
Where they had one of those deals where you learn how to fix cars.
Right.
It's a shop class.
Right.
But you really get real cars, and it's like going into it was a very cavernous, quiet place.
Holly Morris.
And they say, let's go to the hyperactive poodle. And I swear to God, it's like, Mark and Michael, I want to tell you, for being a girl that doesn't know a lot about cars, is there a lot to know? I'm excited. We'll tell you about it coming up on Fox 5 Morning News.
I'm ready to make a change next week.
Uh-huh. She is a hyperactive freaking poodle.
So you think I can get my fix I don't want to say bad television, but I can get my fix by watching that?
So there's more entertaining television.
Because after Krebs and Harrison, everybody else... Now, dare I say, they appear to be competent. Uh-huh. If I can get my fill of that kind of stuff with Holly Morris, I'll try that.
Yeah, you could watch Joe Krebs and Barbara Harrison on Channel 4, the NBC station, watch them do the local hour
mm-hmm.
from 6 to 7.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to watch them flub their, you know, and God, how many times do they flub something as easy as when it's a picture of the airport
right.
and they're going to set up the weather? And both of them, it's like, do either of you asses look at the screen to see what's on TV?
No.
They go,
no.
And Tom Curine says it's going to be a sunny. There we are looking now. That appears to be, you know, meanwhile, everybody in the freaking world's looking at TV and going, hello?
It's right there.
It's the airport. It's downtown, dumbass. Mm-hmm. It's the one airport that's downtown. It's Reagan National Airport. Help!
Forget the flubs. Krebs and Harrison, to me, are like a vodka and Vicodin. It put me right to sleep. That is the sleepiest hour on television.
Yeah, that's kind of why I like it. I just you know, it allows me to, you know, to just cuddle with my pillow
that's
in the morning.
A sleepy hour.
And watch that. But you know what? And I owe it to my friend Tony to watch Channel 5 because, you know, well, now that he's out of there, now that he doesn't have to, you know, worry about things, I can probably tell the truth that I know that nobody else knows about that whole situation up at Good Morning America.
Hello, Tony.
Which was Diane Sawyer. All hands. Okay. Mm-hmm. All the male staff members, especially our weather buddy, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it became unbearable.
You
the situation became unbearable for him.
To talk about a man being raped is something that most times...
Hey, you know he didn't want us to say that.
You know, no one would believe it. You know, if it's prison, if it's man on man, yes, you believe it. Now, what's Tony going to do?
But what he's going to do is do the only thing he could. Get the hell out of there.
You know,
right.
The hell out of there.
He's a survivor.
He goes to Eisner, whoever. He says, listen, she forced me.
Right.
She's a strong woman.
Mm-hmm. Very.
She's much stronger than she appears to be on television.
And I think the words were, if it's good enough for Gibson, it's good enough for you. Get back to work.
Right. And I think Tony's last words were, I will not be raped by Diane Sawyer.
I'm out of there.
I'm proud of him.
And now he's free. Now he is free.
He's free.
Free at last. And just, you know, check it out. Check the other boy toys that they're putting in there in his place.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I think it'll
show.
Make perfect sense.
All of them for the predator.
Yes, that's right. All of it for her pleasure.
For the predator. Uh-huh. For the predator with the baggy ass eyes.
You know, Good Morning America producer comes in every day, you know, brings a new boy toy weatherman and says, submitted for your pleasure.
Diane Sawyer. All right, let me see. How tight is your ass?
Well, hello. Shut the door. Mind the door.
Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, guys, I was just wondering if you ever spent any time watching that Allison Starling on Channel 7. She is just beautiful.
Winner!
Yep, she's the best.
I know. She's, as far as just looks, just pure looks.
A little moon pie-ish.
Oh, no.
Little round of
No, gotta disagree.
She's not, you know...
Smoking. As far as local TV, she's it.
That should tell you about our local TV.
Well, you know, again, you know, you pay what you get. You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I talk about Harrison's ability to read a prompter, but not, you know, the looks department.
Baby.
She's A-okay.
That's how she got the job.
She is A-okay. Every morning, her tribute to gravity.
And Rob,
yeah.
Have we ever discussed her makeup? And I don't mean like Maybelline and CoverGirl, but I mean, you know, what's going on there? I mean, I know that we've got a picture on our website today, for instance, of maybe you heard about this story, that there was a mulatto, two mulatto kids.
Mm-hmm.
One of them had a dad that was black and a mom that was white.
Right.
And the other one was the opposite.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so these two crazy mulatto kids, uh-huh. They fall into love. They're 19 and they have fraternal twins.
Oh, yeah, one baby, one of the twins was black, one was white.
One is white, yeah. And one is black.
Mm-hmm.
We have that picture. I think, don't we have the family picture on the website today?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Regis held that up the other day.
Hey, take a look at this. Huh? Wow.
Like, you know, the things that arouse his curiosity.
Let me cock my head to the right. Uh-huh. I had to mention it to Rob. I mean, the reason it's on our webpage today is that Rob just found out about it today.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me all excited. He said, oh. God, these two mulattoes, they made it, and you're not going to believe it. And I said, same thing you said. I
right.
said, oh, I saw Regis hold the picture up on TV 2 days ago.
Regis Philbin all over it.
That's right. Regis Philbin hot in the interracial love, babies.
When he's not holding things upside down.
But what a crazy cocktail that is. Really, mm-hmm. So you got black mom, white mom, black dad, make two separate, coffee with cream kids.
Right.
Now, the two coffee with cream kids, they get together, they have two kids, and one of them is dark chocolate, and the other one is just regular milk.
Yes. Yeah, very interesting.
That's nutty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's interesting.
Inconceivable. The odds are
inconceivable. Well, obviously, it'll happen.
It can't
can happen.
Well, it did happen.
A million to one. Babies having babies.
He was all wound up about it today.
Yeah,
he's still wound up about it.
He sure is.
Things, you can't tell.
The things that get him excited.
Yeah.
The things that get him, you know, away from that sandwich and onto his feet. It's pretty amazing.
He called me up this morning. Hey, did you hear about the mulatto babies? Like, crushed. And I'm like, yes, I heard the mulattoes had.
Wanted to break the news to you?
Yeah.
It's a shame.
I'm flying out to see them this weekend.
Are you taking Barbara Harrison with you?
Yeah, Barbara and I are
going to
fly out to Nottingham, England.
With our Mamie Eisenhower suits.
The airplane
with her, and now you know you said it, but I said maybe you're right, Jackie O. You know,
Jackie
back in like the 60s.
All she needs is one of those pillbox hats
with her wool suit.
Be perfect.
Christ, these people on morning TV.
I'm going to change my viewing habits, though. I am going to do that.
I don't feel guilty about Tony.
I'm going to log a little time with Holly.
Yeah, Holly. I guarantee. You know, and I would love to get her on the show. Who's the producer this week of our show?
Oh, hey, Rob,
why don't you see if you could get Holly Moore? I know she probably wouldn't, because I've spoken about her over the years as being a hyperactive poodle and everything else, and I find it hard to take the transition when really one morning she's in Dutch country and she's got her pants rolled up to her knees and she's churning butter, and then at 12 noon they bring her back and she's wearing the same goddamn smelly clothes and she's reading the news like she's a real news lady.
Morris.
I mean, I know that she probably has dreams of being in the anchor chair.
Right.
But face it, honey, you're like Willard Scott with boobs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's you're the funny reporter.
What do you mean Willard Scott with boobs?
Smaller boobs.
Willard Scott with smaller boobs. Much smaller boobs. But I'd love to chat with her.
I'll see if she was interested.
See if she'd come on the show.
Channel 5 has that kind of blanket policy, doesn't it? I mean, except for if we know personally the individuals that come on here.
I have to say, I'm a fan of hers. You know.
We could go that far?
No. No, not really. Well, you know.
You've seen every festival she's gone to.
There's a very fine line between fan and fanatic.
This is true.
And stalker.
This is true.
That's right. Remember, you can't spell fun without F-U.
I think Rob could probably put it like this. You appreciate the art form. The art form that is local TV. No, wrong. The craft.
Where's the Robbie, where's
I love it when actors call it a craft.
Where's the tape of Holly Morris?
They like it, too.
You can't find it anywhere?
No. The craft.
Again, we can't find the tape.
Again.
There was one time.
Such a fetching voice.
She was opening a bottle of champagne. She was somewhere where she was. There. It was something about New Year's Eve and having New Year's Eve parties.
Oh, come on. Where's the tape? We don't have it?
No.
Oh.
We played that all the time, though. We used to, yeah.
No, we used to.
I can get it.
Yes.
Digga. All right.
Hold on.
Very ear piercing. Yep.
Let me just call and see if someone knows where it is.
He's got it.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah. It was in the cabinet where I always keep it.
Come on. Three rings.
Hey, this is Beth Ann. Thanks for calling. Please leave your name and your number, and I'll try to give you a call back. Thank you.
To record a message, press 1 or stay.
All right, never mind. He found it.
He found it. We were looking for it.
Bye. Okay, so here she is on Channel 5, and this is right at the very end of the news as they're signing off.
Right.
She's doing one of these wacky segments where she's at a champagne party.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. And we'll see you again tomorrow. Do drive safely.
All right, we're in the victory circle. I can't get it. Ah.
There she is.
Ah. Here it comes. Hey, take it.
You don't fake that.
No.
Well.
Baby!
Oh, yeah, maybe sometimes you do.
Holly graduated from Duke University with a degree in civil and environmental engineering.
Hey, that's a high prestige university.
That would be a waste of money.
She's a blue devil.
So you went to Duke University, one of the nation's most respected institutions of higher learning, and now you're shaking champagne bottles on TV. Squealing like a poodle.
Yeah, she'll come on here.
But I watch you, honey. Watch you every day.
Honey, that feels
honey, I miss you.
Watch you every day.
Honey. Damn it, honey. But really, we got to have that career discussion.
Why don't you call her a little girl, too? come on, little girl.
All right, little girl. Now, listen. The discussion is this.
Honey, if you become the mayor, William Donald Schaefer of the airwaves. Sing for us, little girl. I heard he's done that again, too. There was some news story I heard where he was in another place. Another woman's come forward with the comptroller, Donald Schaefer, in the state of Maryland, who's now under attack, this 80-year-old guy, for belittling women.
Oh, no. He said this one woman he's had a nice ass. He asked her to walk by again because she had a nice ass. He's like 84.
This story was another woman who was supposed to address some association, business association, and he was there as the guest speaker, and he was referring to her constantly as his little girl, and asked her to sing a song, and you could hear him doing it. And you know, they're making a lot of this. He's an 80-year-old guy. Yeah. Give me a break. How old is he now?
84.
84.
Still going.
Can you imagine that you get this old guy with, "That's my little girl. Get up and sing a song for us right now."
A 60-year-old woman's a little girl to him at this point.
Yeah, when he was talking about the girl's ass. They were talking to him out of chambers or whatever room that this happened in, and he said, he almost seems like maybe like a little Alzheimer's is slipping in because
that could be happening.
He says, "I didn't do anything worth apologizing. I'm not apologizing." He said, "Well, what did you say to the woman?" "Well, I said, she said she was mad, and I said, I'm sorry." And he said, "Well, then you apologize." "I didn't apologize. There's nothing wrong with what I said."
You know, you have that privilege, I think. I think when you're over 70, you can start being like that.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You know, at 84, he could have started working it right there. You know what I'm saying?
Wouldn't that be special?
Not really. Right there.
Wouldn't that be special?
Would he?
Mr. Comptroller, leave me alone. I'm trying something. I'm trying it a little different here. See if we can get anything going. Nope. Walk by me again, honey.
I want to try to poke the prune out of the Danish.
Give me a second. You're supposed to speak, Mr. Comptroller. No! Need more time.
And William Donald Schaefer. God, look at that tight ass.
Anybody have any steel wool?
This is William Donald Schaefer. Me so horny.
The weird thing about William Donald, I believe, lifelong unmarried, like kind of lived at home.
I don't know his personal history.
I believe he has. I don't think he's been married.
Served the state well.
I don't think so. Very popular mayor. Very popular governor.
Good for him. Probably gets around. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Used to, at least.
You know what I'm saying?
Still thinks about it, obviously.
Or maybe he talks a good game.
Okay. I thought you were going to imply that maybe he's been to Brokeback Mountain.
No, I think that maybe he is not as worldly as one might think he is, and he makes up for that.
Mm. He's a lover of the highest regard. I bet he's banged. I bet he has had his way with more employees of the state of Maryland over the last 25 years. And I'm talking about, I imagine, William Donald Schaefer, if he's out when he was governor of Maryland,
right.
You know, stop at one of those rest stops, meet one of those people that's working in there.
I wish I remembered the facts. He had some sort of longtime housekeeper. It was one of those deals, I think.
And didn't
I'm not sure what the deal was. I know it was not orthodox.
Did she sue him or something?
It was just different. He was different. Whenever it came, you know, when it came to his personal life, there were always stories that, well, he doesn't have the traditional family. It was a very interesting situation.
Yeah, but I imagine him like at that rest stop, you know, like at the Maryland house, up on 95 if you're driving.
Now, you don't remember the guy looking like Mr. Magoo. You're turning him into a stud muffin, and
I'm basing this solely on what I saw last week, the new coverage of him, the most recent coverage of him. Yes, I know the man we're talking about.
You're turning him into Tom Jones here.
Dig the power.
Hey, little girl, come here. And I'm saying what he's doing is like he's like, "Hey, how about that?" And then he goes back and he, does whatever.
What do you mean? You mean that he can't do whatever?
No, I don't. I'm not. All I'm saying, I don't. Why am I being put in this defensive position here? I am saying
I think that William Donald Schaefer can still get it
at 84.
Yeah.
Don't think about it.
I think he's an old man that talks a good game.
He's been old a long time, though.
He has been old a long
time. He was old when they opened the aquarium.
And I think he's been talking a good game a long time, and I think he's harmless. He's harmless in that way.
I think that as a man, that's an awful thing for you to say, because even if he's faking it,
right,
you should hope when you were 84, that you still see a chick's ass in the State House of Representatives, and you say something like, walk past me again, honey. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
You think he does that, huh?
Yeah.
And you think he's still working it?
Yeah, I think, as a matter of fact, probably maybe some to pass the time.
What do you mean, with who, where, how, when?
No. By himself.
Oh, by himself.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Really?
That's how.
I mean, I don't know. I think
loaded with petrol. I think he is.
Wow.
Really?
I think he's just talk. He's all talk.
That'd be a great video, though.
No, I'm telling you.
WDS.
All right, now that's.
And I think if he was the way you say he is, it would have surfaced by now. You would have had allegations. You would have had other circumstances. Women always come forward.
All you have are
with powerful people.
Thousands of satisfied women, and he's.
Oh, that's right. You're saying that now. Now you're saying they're so satisfied that they're not going to come forward.
And
that's because he's pleased. Now, William Donald Schaefer, you got your number one advocate in Don Geronimo over here. That's right. You are so satisfied.
Every state worker.
Thousands of happy Marylanders.
They call him Multiples Schaefer. That's it.
I just think, don't get down on the guy. I think he can still get it done. Good for him.
Not getting down on the guy at all.
I think he can still get a piece of ass with the best of them.
I think probably by the time he was like in his 50s, you know, he probably was not lucky in all those ways of love, and he talked a good game with the locker room crowd. You know?
That is disturbing. I'm sorry to point my pen at you.
It seems to me...
That is disturbing. You're striking out against one of your own.
It's just like the heroes that, talk the big game. The guys that did the stuff on the battlefield, they don't like to talk about it. Same thing about sex.
Sex is different. You're 85... No, listen, hold on, because you're not talking about, a guy that, like Liddy. Pony like Liddy who says, I fought the war when he was at Coney Island. And Liddy would be a guy who gets so into it that I don't believe that he's a stud.
Right.
But Schaefer's harmless. I mean, the stuff you hear about...
Schaefer's doing the same thing. He's just doing it in different scenarios. He's doing it when he's at the big meetings. He's like, hey, honey, hey, how about that?
He can't control himself.
Right.
He's got a very active libido.
At 84?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's still sexually active.
Well, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that.
Kind of exciting right now. We've got the 26th annual...
What is this? Oh, this is one of the women that William Donald Schaefer had sex with. One of the thousands of Baltimore women he was with. Listen, here she is.
Mayor McKeldin. He was our mayor. Don't you have a booklet with our history?
We've got all that. Why'd you decide to do a frog hop?
Well, he sent me an application when he was mayor, and I thought,
this is real Baltimore here.
Frog. So nobody had a frog. I'm a city girl. The mayor at that time was a city fellow.
Okay.
So I started with publishing.
Okay. We have to work right now.
It's a different mayor she's talking about.
Good idea. In fact, we've got some frogs.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Still, Schaefer had her.
Still.
He's the mayor to have when you're having more than one.
That's right.
Hello there.
Mayor McStud.
Don and Mike show. You know, you should really try to book him on the show and tell them that I believe that he can still...
Yes, that's the way we always get bookings on the show. Tell him I think he's a eunuch, but Don thinks he's a stud.
No. And Mike, if the roles were reversed, I would do the same thing. It's not, you know, as a matter of fact, we can tell him. Who cares? Tell him that you think that he can get it done and I don't. It's going to be fascinating to have the guy on the show. Really, is he all talk? You know, let's put it to the test.
Put it to the test.
Are you all talk? You know, when's the last time you actually got it on? Or,
right.
Or as Mike says, are you one of these guys, one of these dirty old guys that just talks, but you got a piece of spaghetti down there?
Yeah. You know what he'd say? The public line would probably be that he'd agree with me. So, I'm all talk. I don't really back it up at all. He's not going to come on there and go, yes, Don, you're absolutely right. During my history as mayor, I've bedded more than 3,000 women.
No, I think we're talking about it.
I'm the Wilt Chamberlain of political offices.
We're just talking about him recently, right? Like since 80?
Well, I'm saying I don't know the history of William Donald Schaefer. It has come to light that he has done this for quite some time.
Right, yeah, and I've been researching that. Apparently there have been other incidents throughout the year, throughout his career. Rather, I just found this little short story in the Baltimore Sun. The president of the Anne Arundel Community College reported that her school was recently ranked first in a national survey. How do you feel? Schaefer asked. I feel great, Smith replied. Schaefer responded, you look great, too. Smith said, it didn't bother, quoting her, I'm 56 years old. When somebody tells me I look good, I take that as a compliment, end quote. So that's the kind of mover and shaker he is.
He's trying to get laid.
Yeah. Sooner or later, that's going to pay off.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Okay, be a hater, not a player. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm the hater, not a player.
No, that was directed at him.
Okay. Why? What'd I do? Right. I'm supporting that and what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you misunderstood. It's all right.
Hello. Hello there.
Don.
Yeah.
I got your name on Schaefer's long-time live-in housemate. It was Hilda Mae Snoots.
That's it. You know, yes, hold on. That is
Hilda Mae Snoots.
Don't you remember? I mean,
yeah.
That's not a joke.
That Hilda Mae, that was that old lady that he lived
name.
With, right?
Right. The old lady who lived in the shoe.
And I actually think she, like, lived in the... when he was mayor of Baltimore, I think she lived, like, in the townhouse next to him. That they had separate quarters.
Yes, he would just go over there and bang her.
I don't think so.
See, I'd like to hear more about his sexuality.
So would I.
Because I know that it was not... What you say, that he was kind of a Casanova, that wasn't the rap. That wasn't what that's not what people were saying about the guy. They said that he had this Hilda Mae Snoots that was his housekeeper. And you didn't have stories that, for example, stories like our own mayor for life, Marion Barry, where he was out on the town, where he was doing... And I'd like to know what was the people that were closest to him that maybe did socialize, what was his M.O.?
Baltimore is a tight community. It's one of
you're arguing your point.
You know, it's the world's...
I'm trying to be logical here.
It's the world's biggest small town.
I understand.
What I mean is that, you know, what you say in Baltimore... stays in Baltimore.
This show is still very popular in Baltimore, and I believe we are going to get insight.
You're out for a night on the town. You see the governor out there in front of Pollock Johnny's with his pants around his ankles.
With eight women on his arm.
And you know what you do?
All with fur coats.
You know what you do? You say, let's go O's! You don't go and call, like, Eyewitness News.
And he said, wish I had time to talk. I got six broads in the car. I'm going back to my townhouse.
I'm horny.
You know, it does speak to your argument that he had Hilda Mae Snoots in the townhouse next door.
Right.
Means he can come and go as he pleases.
That's right. And on those nights when he wasn't picking up some hot chick at... God damn, what's that bar that,
Bohagers?
What? Yeah, Bohagers.
Bohagers!
At the nights he wasn't picking up some skank at Bohagers.
Right.
He knew he could go next door and knock on Hilda's door. Hey, Hilda. Hilda, baby.
Hilda Mae Snoots.
Gov's here.
Everybody wants to talk about the mayor.
Gov's here. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of spinners tonight.
It is black.
I know it. That's quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces Radio over?
Good question. That's a good question. Nick, I'm sorry, Nick. Christopher, can they get the money some way to send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them.
The Don and Mike Show.
What was that, Larry? What were you saying, Larry? Seems to have lost your place there, Larry.
It's pimple popping time, because here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Damn straight. Hi. I guess tonight. You ever realize that on Larry King's TV show, an average audience of the night worth of viewing is like a million people?
Yeah, I mean, it's people don't talk about that. Just like when he was on with his radio show, he's on in the middle of the night and he didn't have that many listeners.
Right.
But I mean, a million people as far as having TV on CNN
right.
at 9 o'clock. I mean, you could run a test pattern,
mm-hmm.
and you would get a million people.
Right.
Right?
Right. Well, the hit shows do, what, 20, 30 million people?
Right. I mean, the real hit shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I read that chart that comes out in the newspaper on Wednesdays.
Right.
When you look at a show like, Charmed on the WB.
Okay. How many people does that do?
It gets about 2 million viewers.
And under Charmed, it would be test pattern city, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Think about that. Twice as many people watch Charmed.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you an even better one. Last week's rating for Reba.
Is Reba still on the air?
2.8 million viewers.
Wow, nearly three.
So 1.8 million more viewers than Larry has.
That's right.
Wow. Hi. Here we are. Yet he is considered somewhat of an icon.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi. I've got my suspenders.
It's me, Larry.
Have I told you you're my favorite?
Getting beaten by Reba.
That's disturbing.
Reba McEntire.
Reba.
Although I guess pretty much anybody can get a show on cable.
Mm-hmm.
What did I read about? Well, there was a one time, the Dennis Miller show, mm-hmm. when he did his I Love Bush show.
Right.
It actually got, and not like a comedy show, like yeah. he loves Bush. Mm-hmm. It was like, really, he loves George Bush. It actually got zero. Like in the Nielsen ratings.
No one's watching.
It did not show up in the ratings.
Well, the problem is, and the way I've read it, is that there are too many of them. There are too many of these shows. It's too widely dispersed. Right. And so you have some of the stuff that falls to the bottom. And then you get people like Larry, who I think probably is a master at self-promotion. And so he, you know, he survives through all this.
I do a lot of sucking.
I remember when I was with Ted Turner on his ranch. Constantly kneading Ted's shoulders.
I suck a lot to get the guests,
the big names.
That's what I do. Yes, sirree. Thanks to Ross Perot for putting me on the map when I suck.
True.
I'm Larry from the corner.
And you mentioned Larry's radio show, which reminded me about old-time radio, which was, for me, old-time radio was when I first got into radio. I was talking yesterday, I was talking to a friend of mine. A lot of people, since Frida has passed away, have gotten back in touch with me, radio guys that I had fallen out of contact with for whatever reason. So there was one guy who I've been emailing, and he was my program director at the station in Rockford, Illinois, when I was still going to high school during the day and wow. working 10 o'clock at night, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls me up, and we're talking, we're emailing, and he says, I was talking about something happening. Oh, I know, I mentioned the W Rock F truck. I said, oh, I've talked on the air about how we used to screw chicks in this in the big station vehicle that was the Winnebago mm-hmm. that was parked in the barn behind the radio station that had the mobile studio in it. And he said, and I said, the Bobby B. Soda stuff. And he said, do you remember the night you really pissed me off? No, I have no idea. And here's what I did. Now I'm 15. My shift is 10 p.m., to 2 a.m. in Rockford, Illinois. It is about 15 degrees outside. It's the dead of winter. It's 9 o'clock. I got nothing to do. I, at this point, am driving my Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am. Okay? And I think I've got time to go to the car wash. I'm going to go to the self-serve car wash, even though it's 15 degrees outside, even though it's 9 p.m. at night, even though, you know, it's nighttime, nobody's going to see my car. At this point, I'm still living at home with my parents. The car is not even going in the garage.
You're just killing
the car is sitting in the driveway. No, but I had this thing about wanted the car to look good.
Always been,
you know,
like that.
Because it would be, you know, seriously, 15 degrees, and I would have the windows down so that the chicks could hear, you know, the groovy hits coming out
right.
of the car.
The H-track.
So I remember standing there, and it was one of those deals where you had like the big power washer thing,
mm-hmm.
and
the wand,
and you had the big brush. And you would put in the quarters. They still have these things,
yes.
the self-serve car washes. And you put the brush, and the foam would come out of the brush.
Uh-huh.
And you would soap up the car. And then you had this high pressure that you kind of spray it off with.
Right. Still have that fabulous technology today.
Okay. Well, I get out of the car, and because it's freezing, I leave the car running. I don't think there's a problem with this because I'm just, it's no different than putting the car through the car wash.
Right.
Or going in a rainstorm. I mean, so it's running and anyway, I'm soaping it up, la, 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 la. And then it's time to rinse it.
Right.
And when I rinsed it, what happened was in between the time of the rinsing, putting the rinsing thing back in that big tube that they have, like in
the holster for it.
Yeah, the holster that right. they have in those little mini garages. What had happened was everything had frozen solid.
Mm-hmm. 15, sure.
I could not get into my car.
Locks froze. Everything froze.
Which was running.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that, you know, you might say, well, come on, you dumbass. Why didn't you just, you know, like pound? Trust me, I was there for 5 minutes, like a moron with my hand like this going, you know, trying desperately, pulling on the door, falling down on the ice. Again, 1975, before cell phones.
Right.
So what I got to do is go walk across the street, get out a quarter, call the station.
You're supposed to be on the air in less than an hour?
Yeah, it's, now it's 9:30. So I call the station, and I tell Shotgun Mark Rivers, I'm at the, whatever, Mr. Duty Car Wash, uh-huh. and, you know, I'm locked out of my car, and I don't know what to do. And he says, okay, I'll call Carl. I'll call the PD. This is the guy that I was chatting with.
Right.
And I remember calling him and explaining the situation. Now, Rockford, Illinois, still is at that time a small town.
Right.
Like, you know, the radio station's here. Everybody lived within 10 minutes. He said, what car wash are you at? I said, I'm at the one by whatever, by the Midas.
Right.
He says, okay, I'll be there in a couple of seconds. The guy shows up. He gets there, and he says, let's go. Let's get you to the radio station.
Right.
I said, oh, thank God. I'm so sorry. God, I'm so freaking sorry. I'm sorry. He's like, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Just, you know, just get in there and do your show. Now, I am just a kid. I'm 15.
Your car's running, meanwhile.
Yeah, the car is, yes.
Ice shut.
The car is running.
Right.
I leave. I go and do my shift. I walk in the door to the radio station on Tamarack Lane in Rockford, Illinois, literally 2 minutes before 10. I walk in, plug my headphones in, da-da-da-da-da, start the show, boom, boom, boom. The PD says, all right, you guys can work this out. I'm going home now.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, see you later. Then Shotgun Mark Rivers, the guy that's on before me, he says, all right, well, if everything is cool here, I'm going to leave. And I said, yeah, whew, I'm just so glad I made it in. I'll see
right.
you later.
Meanwhile, now, it's not getting any warmer, I would assume.
Right.
Now, here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
They've now left. The right. program director has left.
You're by yourself.
The night guy has left.
How far away is your car?
Well,
like minutes-wise?
10 minutes away.
Okay.
I realize now, as it gets to be about 11 o'clock, uh-huh. now that my nerves are not totally on edge, right. and I'm just kind of doing the show, and I'm thinking, okay, I didn't get fired. Ooh, thank God. Keep in mind, I've got school tomorrow.
Right.
You know? I mean, really, yeah. I do. I got 8 o'clock classes in the morning. I think, oh, Christ, my car.
And you're driving like on a learner's permit, aren't you?
Yeah, right. No, yes, absolutely. I'm 15. You can drive in Illinois and Wisconsin, you drive when you're 15. I think, my car is still at the car wash.
Right. What if it like heats through and thaws out and somebody's got a brand new Trans Am?
No, that's Mike. That would have been a good thing.
Right.
That would have been a good thing. When I was talking to Carl, he reminded me that he came back to the radio station before the end of my shift, and so I guess like at about 1:50. Because I just figured when it got to be like 1:30 in the morning, I would call somebody and say, hey, give me a lift. Or at worst, get a cab. Right. And just say, drive
get a
me
cab over to your car.
To this car wash.
Where well, it's still frozen.
And running.
Well, no. At 1:15, the light comes on in the studio, meaning somebody's at the front door.
Ah.
Right? So you go to the front door, and it's the program director. And I see lights.
Police
not cop lights.
No?
Not cop lights. Tow truck lights.
Huh.
And it's the program director, and I remember that he is wearing some type of, like, tiger, almost like a Peg Bundy-looking PJ outfit that he's got on underneath his parka. And as it turns out...
like he'd been awakened.
Yes, because this is Rockford, Illinois. We're not talking about the media market of the world.
Right.
What happened was sometime between 9 p.m., and 1 a.m., my car, which was frozen and running,
uh-huh.
somehow crashed into the side of the wall of this place. Okay?
Wow. At the car wash.
Rolled
at,
away.
At the car wash. Now, didn't do major damage because they're like cinder blocks,
uh-huh.
right? So the only reason that the PD knows about it is that the news director calls him up to say... Oh, my God. Like, the news director was one of these guys. You know these guys in old-time radio, Buzz. I mean, nothing ever happened.
This is big news in Rockford.
Nothing ever happened in Rockford. So the police scanner went off.
Right.
And, oh, my God, there's been a car, an abandoned car, at the do-it-yourself car wash, and it has run into a wall, and part of the wall has collapsed. So now the news director calls the program director to say, I want to call the station right now, and I want to go on with this breaking news. The program director says to the news guy, before you do that, let me go see what's going on, because I think we don't want to go on the air with the story, because I think it's the ass that's on the radio now. So my program director...
What did you do, leave the car and drive?
They still don't know exactly what happened. Possibly. They think what happened is that somebody tried to steal it,
okay,
couldn't get into it, tried to push it out.
Makes sense.
And then because it was icy, when they were pushing, the left front end of the car just kind of did one of these things.
Wow.
So the program director is there, and he has them tow the car back to the radio station.
Is it still running?
No.
Oh, no.
Not anymore.
Oh, my God. It's totally not running.
Right.
And he's pissed because this is small town, and...
Everybody's going to know.
And look what you've put him through.
Yeah, and his whole thing is, first off, you know, why are you washing your car?
Right.
An hour before you're going to do your show when it's 12 degrees outside. Second... You know, when we did this, how come you didn't figure out a way to send somebody back? Are you grown up or not? You know, and the answer, of course, is no, I'm not grown up. I'm 15. I don't know what's going on. So he's standing outside freezing. Anyway, he reminded me of that.
Could you get in the car after that when they towed it?
No, that's the worst part of it is that the program director is yelling at me
right in
front of the radio station while the record is playing. Okay, so I'm coming out during a record, and I'm just getting all of this where he says, hey, you know, listen, you know, what's his name? The morning news guy called. It was on the scanner. I went down there because here's your car. You owe this guy like $70 to tow it. You're going to have to take it up with your insurance about the place. I'm going back home. Good luck. Have a good show. Get back in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets in his car and drives away, and I say to the guy in the tow truck, come on inside. So the guy in the tow truck comes inside, and I finish doing the show, and then I realize my car is broken.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that I'm going to be able to drive this car. I don't want to call my mom and dad.
No, right.
I don't want to call them at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
They hate me doing this job anyway.
Right.
To tell them that I've crashed my car when I've left it at a car wash because it's been frozen, because I'm an idiot and I'm washing it with a power washer. So I have the tow truck guys, give me a ride home.
Uh-huh.
And I must have lied to my parents for 2 weeks about it. They would say, where's your car? I said, I loaned it to, Vinny, you know, or...
Meanwhile, is it sitting at the radio station?
Yes, because I couldn't afford to get it fixed.
How did you get to the radio station?
Ah, had a friend drive me.
Every night?
For two weeks. Solid weeks.
Wow.
Until I got a paycheck.
Right.
But as it turns out, and the damage to the car was relatively minor. Mm-hmm. I mean, back then it was like just the fender, but the wheel was screwed up, and I needed a new wheel. I didn't have money for that. Mm-hmm. So I would have a friend at school,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would drive me in and drop me off, right. And then, same deal, somebody who would...
And every day the program director came to work and saw your car out there, he was reminded of the incident.
Yes, because the more time went on... I remember him saying to me, like after a week, are you ever going to get that thing fixed?
Because
it was just sitting in the corner. And this was, they thought that the radio station was like a temple. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they treated it was, for being in Rockford, Illinois,
right.
It was pretty much state of the art.
Right.
And they're proud that they had the van that had the studios.
Different you know. Time.
Meanwhile, they got a junker in the front yard with a caved in side.
That's right. So
and program directors at that level are easily excitable. Yes.
So anyway, what ended up happening was this was what he had reminded me, and I'm surprised I never mentioned this, probably just because I hate my parents so much. But what he ended up doing was, after 2 weeks, he said to me, listen, are you ever going to get that car out of the parking lot? I don't really care what you do with it. I don't care how you get here, but you have to get the car out of the parking lot. You must do this. I said, okay, I promise I'll do it. All I know is that I got home from school that day, and my mom said, the program director called me.
Oh, there you go.
And you don't think I walk into a wall of S. It's like
right.
I got my mom now yelling at me about this. And like, you know, we told you you shouldn't get that car and your insurance rates will be through the roof. But no, you had to have it because you're Mr. Rock and Roll DJ. And no, you can't have just a normal job. You have to have a DJ job. And you got in a wreck. When did you get a wreck? How did you get in a wreck? Our insurance, it was.
And you were on your parents' insurance?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. Yes. And then for the, I think for... Gosh, I don't know, maybe the next three
black Trans Am. And was it the black Trans Am with the big, like, eagle on
sure
the front
was,
of it?
Sure was, big gold eagle. Uh-huh. And I think maybe for the next 3 months, which was however long I had to wait to get whatever insurance it was, I actually had to pay a guy from the radio station
to drive you
to come and pick me up.
Wow.
I paid him $5 a day.
Was it another guy that worked there?
Yeah. It was a weekend guy.
Pretty good, though, for a weekend guy to pick you up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, he needed a dough. I mean, it was $30 a week.
Absolutely.
$30
money.
A week. And anyway, Carl reminded me of that, of just another one of the many, many dumb things that I've done. But that's the one that he said got him the most pissed. The most pissed.
In his tiger pajamas.
The most pissed. And he was also the program director that I called. I know I've told you this one before. The first time I ever did a record hop, again, I'm 15 years old, and that's where you would go out as a DJ. Mm-hmm. Before, like, DJs as we know them today, club DJs.
Right.
Regular top 40 DJs would go out with these big, old-time, just gnarly turntables.
Like, usually they came in a suitcase, a big, long suitcase with a turntable on either side and a little mixer in the middle.
And, like, it would just erode.
You worked with 45s.
It would erode your self-confidence to a point where when you got there, when you're setting this up, you realize that you're lower than like a hobo clown that, you know.
Record hops, pretty cheesy.
But it was a good way to make $75.
Everybody did it because everybody needed, just like everybody did remote broadcasts at the local hardware store because everybody needed the money.
Or the Pants Corral. But this guy, Carl, was
Baldwin the guy, Service Center.
Was the guy that got me my first record hop. Uh-huh. Now, this, I swear on Frida's life, also, absolutely true. I've told it before. Do we have the record Susan by the Buckinghams?
I think we might.
Okay.
Know it well.
I'm doing a record hop for borderline retards. I'm not saying that like the way that we do now on the show.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
Oh, okay.
These people are
special.
Quirkies. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know exactly what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is obviously why this cherry gig has come to me at the radio station. I'm the last guy to get in on making extra money doing hops.
Right.
Finally, the PD, Carl, says to me, I got one for you. Friday night, Rec Center, Rockford. You pick the stuff up at the station. You show up. It's 2 hours. Get you $75. Bring the stuff back. Have a great weekend.
Right. He didn't tell you who your audience was?
No, he didn't tell me. And really, it wasn't a problem.
Right.
Until I played this one record. So, you get there and you set everything up. And you just feel like the biggest piece of dung.
Well, you don't normally, but it depends on your gig, right? I mean, it depends on the gig that you're at. Is this the first one you ever did?
First one I ever did. You know, and I'm creating the stuff in myself.
Right. It can be a pleasurable experience if you get the right crowd.
No, but I mean,
you still have to carry the stuff, and it's cheesy equipment. And
but
if there's some POAs there, it's a good thing. You know?
You're talking about, I would do stuff like high school hops and stuff like that.
But this hop sounds like it wasn't exactly
it was special.
Sounds like hops made an impression on you right from the beginning.
Let's go to the hop. All right, so I get there, and I'm not really sure what to do, and I'm not really good with setting the thing up. But they say, at one point, they come over and say, I can't figure out why people are saying to me, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much. They all love the station. Everybody, all the kids love the station. And I just think it's the regular station. Until finally someone comes up.
Did you have cart machines or just turntables?
Just turntables.
Right.
And when you went out to do a hop. So
you really couldn't identify yourself as the DJ. You just had the...
you had a microphone.
You had a mic, but you didn't have any of the stuff. You know, I mean,
no.
just the record jingles, nothing like that.
Hi, it's me. Hey, how you doing? WRO. Hey, how are we doing tonight?
Thanks for coming out. And you have that feeling that all record hop DJs have. They really think I'm on the radio.
Oh, God. You know, maybe down in my car. I wish I had the record. God damn it.
How did it go?
Okay. Here's the thing. I think it might even be in my car.
You send Joe down?
Yeah. I got the wrong car. Never mind. I just have to explain it to you. So,
isn't this one, I've heard you say, yes. Is this the one where it had kind of a riff in the song that
yes.
was really high-pitched?
Here's the problem, that they tell me about halfway through this
uh-huh.
that the kids are really enjoying it, keep up-tempo music coming,
uh-huh.
because they're special. So now I'm just soaking this in. I swear to Christ to you, I'm 15, I mean, I don't make, like, retard jokes like I do now. I'm 15.
Right.
You know, to me, a big joke was calling a guy a mo.
Right.
Right?
Right. Don't be a mo.
So it's like, I'm just going, okay. I'm looking at them, and And none of them are coming up and asking for requests.
Right.
It's all the parents that are asking for requests, and they're asking for, you know, play the disco songs and everything. So I start thinking I can play anything I want, right? Because what the hell? So I play this record by the Buckinghams,
right,
called Susan. As it turns out, it's a very melodic song. Susan, feel like I am losing. I'm losing my mind. About 2 minutes into the record, it stops. The record stops, and the sound that it makes is...
That's on the record.
Yeah, except it's not like me sounding like a like a pig in heat. It's like
right.
It's like the Damien, like watch out, almost like the think of the Psycho music.
Yeah.
Do we have that?
Yeah, we do.
Right.
It might as well be that you're going from this goddamn bubblegum pop, this wonderful Susan,
and then it stops,
and then all of a sudden they.
Like a psychedelic psycho in the middle of the record.
I mean, I'm not kidding you this time. If we had a copy of the record, I could play it for you.
And it wasn't that well received?
They, I swear to God, all of them, like 50 of them.
They didn't like it.
You know, I got all the parents running over me. Going,
they didn't care for it.
Running going, what are you doing?
Turn it off.
Take that off.
Put the fire hose on the disc jockey.
Take that off.
Jesus. Because you've always talked kind of negatively about record ops. I think that was probably a pretty tough one to cut your teeth on.
The very first one ever. That's a true story.
Still get paid?
Yeah.
Still got the money?
Yeah, in Monopoly money.
Did you correct the problem quickly, or did you was there a part of you, that sadistic part, that wanted to play it again?
No, I flipped. I was flipped out.
You were scared.
I was flipped out, and I was mentioning that to this guy when I was talking to him last night. We were just talking about all these old time things, and he brought that up as well.
Right.
You know, he said, do you remember when you called me that night? And I said, I don't remember anything.
I've done a terrible thing. No. They're all on the floor writhing.
He said that I called him and that I vacillated between feeling very guilty and thinking that I had done something awful.
Right.
And being so mad at him that he had me do the record hop for the retarded kids.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
That I was caught. And
did you do any good record hops after that? Or I know you worked at the roller rink for a while. I mean, was that post roller rink, right?
That was
roller rink was beforehand.
No, roller rink was after.
It was after.
After that was the roller rink.
So much easier. People don't realize in that. Maybe that's why you feel that way about your son. People don't realize what we in this business go through.
What we went through,
and some of those fabulous gigs that you have early in the day that are so much fun.
Yeah, when you come, you know,
gotta come down here and get this fantastic deal.
Nothing makes you feel more like you're in showbiz than when you show up at Bob Dix Ford,
mm-hmm.
and you've got your big brown box, your wooden box, it's got your turntable in it,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, hi, I'm the disc jockey, and I'm here to do the show.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And you get the look from them like, okay, eat one.
Right, this is it. Yeah, you normally, I would say, wouldn't you say, 80% of the time you do a remote broadcast and you have the individual at the dealership or wherever you're doing it, that they're not real happy that they're spending all the money they're spending.
Disappointed. They're not what they expect.
The only real happy person usually is the salesperson who's really making the real money
out
of this whole deal.
And the salesperson never there, always 15 miles away.
Right, exactly.
But they never, a lot of times they don't even know you're showing up.
One of my favorites was, hey, Mike, the guy, and I don't even remember the name of the business, but the guy would really like you to go outside this lawn and garden place and ride around on one of the tractors.
Did you do it?
No, I didn't.
Good for you.
No, I didn't. And it was met with, you know, well, I don't even know why you're here then.
Right.
You know, it was one of those real good days. I was just thinking, like,
dance, monkey,
yeah,
dance.
Yeah, yeah.
One time at an appearance when I told them that we really couldn't do a live remote because we don't do that, they said, well, the owner is disappointed. Can you take my cell phone and pretend to do a phone-in?
Everybody's done that. Yeah. I got to do a few of them with Jack Diamond.
Remote broadcast?
Yeah, where he was on one end and I was on the other, both ways. Uh-huh. And my very first shift on a radio station I worked at with him, and I hit the wrong button. So I said, let's take it down to Jack Diamond, who's down at the Benson Motor Cars or whatever the hell it is. And it's like, hello. 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 Jack, I don't know where you are, Jack. And then I hit the button, and it's like, been here the whole time.
That's why I hated Saturdays.
I hated Saturdays big time.
Oh, God. And just, if you ever want to hear a guy in hell, no matter where you are, on a weekend.
They all do them.
If you get out of, like, the major metropolitan areas,
right.
when you hear the guy on the cell phone saying, hi, this is Nick at Night. And I'm out here at Norris Ford.
Right.
And boy, are we excited.
Yeah, let me tell you about some of these specials. We're going to bring in Fuzzy. Fuzzy's going to tell us exactly what he's got on the lot.
You know that this guy is just praying that someone comes and shoots him between the eyes.
He's right. Right.
Just praying that some guy drives his car through the plate glass window in the showroom and runs him over.
You know what they should do? This is what should be done.
What?
You should take the microphones down and let the people that have the business do the whole thing themselves.
Yep.
And I know it wouldn't be that professional, you know what? It would be fun. And it would be something to look forward to because really, and I take this, I'm going way out on an extreme here. There's a guy in Las Vegas that does infomercials on TV. His name is Chopper. And he's a Hispanic guy. And he does the greatest infomercials you will ever see on TV. And he stands, and he obviously runs the dealership. He's this big fat guy, and he's got the Elvis kind of sunglasses, but they're the sunglasses he would wear for real. And he gets out and he goes, my name's Chopper. I'm going to tell you what I got happening right now. And all his little minions that run the car dealership, they drive the cars up. And some of them have genie costumes on, and others have, like, the straw hat with the wheat in their mouth. And they go, what would you pay? And they're all standing in back, and they go, would you pay $7,500? They all go, no! Would you pay $7,000? No! $6,500? No! $6,488? Get it out of here! And they drive right by him.
Wow.
If you ever get a chance to see this guy, I'm pretty sure it's out of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It is good.
The greatest. And it beats a disc jockey that's down there, you know, having needles put in his thing to say, you gotta come down here because we've got donuts and coffee while supplies last.
Yeah, it's awful.
Painful. But everybody that does this has to do it.
It's awful.
Radio.
It's awful.
It's red hot.
Once I was at the hat company in the junior miss department.
Did you ever have to wear a blazer?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Did not. I had to wear my satin jacket, though.
Mike did?
A WOHN red blazer.
I had to wear my my satin jacket.
Yeah, we had to wear blazers. Blazers and a tie. I mean, way back. We had a sales manager that was born in 1812.
Nice.
Fun.
The Hearth things.
But the heck company.
Junior Miss department.
There are things that you remember that you carry with you for your entire life.
Yes. Scars.
Yes.
And this was a self-inflicted scar.
Really?
That I did not want to do this appearance on a Saturday at 12 noon at the junior miss department at the heck company. This was in 19...
That's not that long ago then, right?
1980.
Because it's relatively recent.
This is when...
You're talking in that kind of...
The last 25 years here in the D.C. area, Route 66 had just opened.
When you're on PGC?
It was a...
Wow.
Yeah, it was a brand new road.
Junior miss department. Get Geronimo down there.
I am not. I don't know how to.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
The night before, I had a good time.
You partied a little bit
with a lot of people from the radio station.
All right.
And the morning before, I partied with a lot of people from the radio station.
Oh my! Prepping yourself for this.
And it was one of those things where I said, "I'll catch a couple hours sleep at some point," and I arrived at this appearance, and of course there was nobody there,
right?
Because I'm at a junior miss department,
right?
But I come walking in with the sign, and the woman from the hat company was very nice.
Yes,
walked up to me and said, "Hi." I said something like, "I'm Don. I'm here to do the appearance," and I swear to Christ, she said, "Will you just wait one moment?"
Mm-hmm.
She walked away for a second, and she came back, and she said, "You know what? I really don't think we're going to need you today."
Really?
I really don't. I think... And
you were a tad disheveled?
And I thought that it was just something had gone wrong with the buy or whatever. I said,
right.
I said, So you want me to do you want me to stay and sign? She said, just go. And now, because I'm stupid, I just got my car, went home, and went to sleep. Monday, I show up at the station. First thing is I go down to the general manager's office, Charles Giddens.
Mm-hmm.
So I go down there, and celebrity he most resembles, Charles Grodin, the bald Charles Grodin.
Okay.
Okay. With a little Dabney Coleman in him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a southern accent. Says, excuse me, what the hell did you do at the junior miss department at Heck Company on Saturday? I'm like, sir, I didn't do anything. I showed up to do the appearance, and she told me to leave. You smelled. You smelled of marijuana. You smelled of alcohol.
Wow.
She said your eyes were as red as a red traffic light. Son, have you never heard of Visine? Son, what the hell were you doing, son? And you know, I'm like, I can't.
You were in the condition where you didn't realize she was blowing you off.
No, and I, you know, he said, and I was, it's not one of the many times in my radio career, you know, where I just sit there and I am just falling apart in front of this guy. I'm like sitting at the desk going, I can't. And he said something like, don't tell me you're so stupid that you didn't know why she told you to leave. She told you to leave because you look like a drunk derelict. You show up. Did you even bathe? Yes, I bathed. She said you smelled.
Wow.
Very true story.
Wow.
Very true story. I had to drive back to the Heck Company the next day.
And apologize?
And I had to apologize to this manager.
Oh, boy.
Wow. That sucked.
That's a painful deal.
That really sucked. But I was there to do it.
And you were on time.
I was, you're goddamn right.
You always are. Well, I'll have you know that I was cold sober when I did my remote at the, well, we were discussing it yesterday, and I'm not kidding you, when I did my remote at the Pennsylvania Dutch Farmers Market.
With the Amish people.
Come on, just look for the guy with one beard, no mustache, and a hat.
Okay, well, listen, we could walk down memory lane all day long.
Of course we could.
Goddamn, I do love to.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. If I ever write a book, if I can ever remember all this stuff, boy, that'll be good.
Hey, if you could remember that Hex thing, you can remember anything.
That's another one of the many times I thought I was going to be fired. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm like an idiot, walking to the station at 3 o'clock, right. Mr. Giddens wants to see you.
What I do?
Right, I'm like, hey.
How you doing?
What's happening?
Probably a promotion.
Right. I'm feeling pretty good.
What I do?
What's happening? You know, he's like, boy,
I'm innocent.
Boy, what is your goddamn problem, boy?
You told him the truth.
I didn't want to do it, so I got a little high. Jesus, leave me alone. Mike, are you ready to laugh?
I certainly am.
I mean, really laugh?
Oh, absolutely.
Not that you've not been belly laughing already and everybody else hasn't been belly laughing already.
I'm actually sore at this stage of the program.
Mm-hmm. I gotta watch you with my sore ribs, but we're gonna go with this. We're gonna go with Make John Norman Laugh.
Now, I've heard rumors he's a tough nut to crack.
Now, John is the guy who's kind of filling part of Beth Ann's job, while Rob kind of fills part of Beth Ann's job.
Just the corduroys.
Although, I'll tell you, it's almost impossible to fill Beth Ann.
It is. But he's trying. It really takes two, maybe three or four men.
To fill Beth Ann.
Five, probably. Yes.
Get a number for better service.
That's right.
Welcome to the womb. So, John is back there. He's assistant producing. He answers the phones. He's Joe's immediate supervisor.
Right.
He's not allowed yet to comment on American Idol.
Not yet.
He's not allowed to come in with dumb stuff off the internet yet. But he's a good, funny guy, and he's a great valued member of our team.
He is indeed.
For the first time ever, John will be the subject of Make Johnny Laugh.
We really don't know enough about him to know exactly the best way to make him laugh.
We'll find out.
We know there are certain things that make him laugh, but it's up to you.
So, phone number 877-365-3636, as we do with most of our calls. They'll be on screen.
Mm-hmm.
We will put 10 minutes on the clock. And, John, I'll just tell you, as a first-time participant, please don't feel any pressure at all to laugh unless you think something is really funny.
I'll do fine as long as I don't have to see Rob.
I urge our audience that's going to play this game to think human suffering.
See, listen to that.
Already he's laughing.
Bingo. Okay, so your subject is John Norman. Right. What you do is call 877-365-3636. We will put 10 minutes on the clock and take on-screen calls until we get someone who can actually make, oh, listen to Joe go to work, actually make John laugh.
Baby Seal walks into a club.
All right, you ready to laugh, John?
I am.
Okay, don't be over-ready.
No, I'm not.
But just be regular ready.
Okay.
You know why he didn't laugh that time? Because that was a joke about animal suffering.
Hey. Right. I like animals.
Yeah.
Human. All right, see you in a minute, John.
All right.
Different.
And just so you get the mental picture in your head, again, celebrity John most resembles Jim Carrey and the Cable Guy.
Absolutely.
Kind of got the, you know, the crazy, nutty, short haircut.
Jim Carrey and the Cable Guy with just a touch of some of those people over in Europe that protest immigrants.
Just a touch.
Just a touch.
Maybe 25%.
Just a little bit.
Maybe 40%.
Maybe, yeah. Well, that's more accurate.
Okay. 60-40 your side.
Sure. Absolutely.
No more than 60, though.
You see them, they're wearing, like, boots and flags and stuff.
That's
no hair.
Sure.
It's mainly that and very little the Cable Guy. That's John. So call that. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's funny. Now this is just silly. And we're cutting into valuable time here.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's get right to it.
Oh. Here to repossess your funny bone, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, it's time to make John Norman laugh.
Yeah. Very first time on the show.
877-365-3636. That's the main number. Also, 800-636-1067 is available. Now, because we want to get to everything on today's show, and we've run a little long in the beginning, this will be a 10-minute session only.
Wow. No extensions?
Hopefully, we will get a winner before the 10 minutes.
No hair extensions?
No. No.
You could use hair extensions, John Norman.
Thank you.
Hi, John.
Hi.
So, rate your mood today.
I'm feeling pretty good today.
Now, you mentioned that if you look at Rob, there's a chance you'll laugh.
There's a chance that I will probably laugh at something that is not funny.
Okay, well then do not look at him, please.
No, I'll turn
away. Do not look at him. John.
Yes, sir.
Just a little background about you. Funniest movie, in your opinion? I know that it's a hard question to answer, to pin down. What do you think a funny movie is?
Tommy Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Young Frankenstein. Fargo.
Good list. Got any favorite comedians?
Louis Black.
Yeah. You enjoy Louis Black?
He's the best.
Somebody,
George Carlin, when he wasn't so angry either.
If somebody takes a fall in front of you, does that make you laugh?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Good so Nutshot like, does it, too.
A what?
Good Nutshot.
Okay, very good. Right.
And please be honest. Don't be afraid to say no. Does this show ever make you laugh?
Always.
Okay, see, now you're lying.
No.
It's good. He'll get over that.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's put 10. Oh, bless you.
Gazuna.
Sorry. Bless you. Boy, oh, boy. You got a handful of snot. Good catch.
Here we go.
You need something?
Huh?
You need a spatula?
No, it was relatively dry.
It's like a swoosh.
Would you like to come wipe some of that on me?
No, because you didn't do that intentionally yesterday.
John, here we go.
We're ready.
And Robbie, the clock starts with the first call.
The first valid call.
Here we go. And hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Johnny laugh.
Hey, John.
Hello.
Did you hear about the batting tee that had a no-hitter at the Special Olympics?
Well, that's a no.
No.
Oh, that was funny.
That's a no.
No, it wasn't.
You'll be the judge of that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi, make John laugh.
What's the difference between St. Patrick's Day and Martin Luther King's birthday?
I don't know.
everybody wants to be Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Hello, Don and Mike.
You're counting. That was the second one out of the block.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi. Make
Hello.
John, make John laugh.
Okay. What did Cinderella say when she got to the ball?
I have no idea.
That made me and Mike laugh.
And we don't know why. Do you know why?
Yeah, right.
With that joke? Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Just that sound.
When she got to the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Didn't make John laugh.
No. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Make Johnny laugh.
All right, John, how are you?
Real good.
Okay, good. What do you call a fish with no eyes?
Don't know.
A fish.
A what?
A fish.
Oh, yeah, you take the eye out. Oh, right. Silly. Silly goose.
Too bad we're not tasering people on this feature.
I know, it's a shame.
Because we want to keep it moving. Hello, Dynamite, you've got as many calls on as possible. Hello.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Hey, what does Michael Jackson and Cheese Whiz have in common?
That's an old joke.
What does Michael Jackson and Cheese Whiz have in common?
I don't know.
Hey, what does... does Cheese Whiz have in common? Hello. Don and Mike show.
Uh-huh.
Hi.
Johnny, have you seen the Saigon hooker that bit off my nose?
No, I haven't.
I'm looking for the Saigon hooker that bit off my nose, Johnny.
Best of luck to you.
All right, see, John's dismissed him. Yeah. Mike and I both applaud that. He's going in a different direction.
I enjoyed it because it's just out there, and I like it. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike
Two
show.
Minutes.
Make John.
Hello.
2 minutes.
Remaining or past?
Past.
Thank you.
You sound like the guy in North Dallas 40.
Oh, thank you.
Like Charles Durning?
Yeah.
Sipping on his, like, Pepto-Bismol. 2 minutes!
Hello, Don and Mike show.
John.
Yes, sir.
Would you rather go hunting with Dick Cheney or on a car ride with John F. Kennedy?
Is that it?
As timely as...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just for anybody who wants...
Stand up.
You might need a punchline there somewhere.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, make John laugh.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Yeah, Tarzan walks up to Jane and says, "Meet Tarzan, what's your name?" She says, "Jane." He says, "What home?"
No, listen. Even though we all laughed, we all just laughed because the guy just used the C
word. Such an idiot, that's why we laughed.
That is a pure idiot.
Can't say guy.
That's
on the
a
radio.
Shame when we get a pure idiot and we have to hit the delay.
It wasn't even that funny.
It wasn't funny, it was just because he was such a moron. I don't think he told it properly either.
It was something like Tarzan said.
What whole name?
Yeah, what whole name?
I get it now.
I get it now.
He had a bad phone, too.
He told it so badly, but it's not a bad joke, really.
Mm. But we can't say the C word.
No, there's no way.
Could have said it, 2 years ago.
No.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Okay, John?
Yes.
A guy wakes up in the hospital after a horrible accident, starts yelling. Doctor comes in and says, "What's the problem?" Guy says, "I can't feel my legs." Doctor says, "Well, of course you can't. We cut your arms off."
Thank you.
No, he didn't like that, even though that was about human suffering.
I do like the suffering. Right,
that made me chuckle a little bit.
Yeah. It's a good human suffering joke.
Lieutenant Dan.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike Joe.
But you ain't got no legs,
hey,
Lieutenant
Don.
Dan.
Hello. Make John laugh.
Don?
Yes?
It's Kamel.
Kay?
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I was in Lebanon 2 weeks ago.
Kay?
And a lot of them are listening to your show.
Oh. I'm sorry, the guy is just kind of...
And that might be our old friend Kamal, who called in and just is clueless as to what the beat is. Right.
Hello,
now.
Don and Mike. Oh, you mean the t-shirt making guy?
I believe so, and I think he just like happened to stumble into the crossfire.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
John, Gene Lenny here. My testicles are 9 inches around.
Are we doing a Liddy?
Thank you, Mr. Liddy.
Okay. All right, well, come on. They're trying.
They're making an effort.
They're trying. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Bless their hearts.
Hello.
Weekend's here. John is clear.
Maybe so, but okay.
That didn't make him laugh. Making fun of him is not going to make him laugh.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
If done properly, it will.
Hello. Hello, make John laugh.
Hello, John.
Yes. Hello.
How do you get a dog to stop humping your leg?
I have no idea.
Pick him up and...
We've had that, but we can't say that.
Yeah, that was excised.
Well, suck him. You can say that.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, never mind. It's too late now. Hello, Don and Mike show. Besides, we've had it. It involves dogs. It's old. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Somebody someday is going to punch up that old dog theme.
Are we, oh, no, we're not out of the line.
Ask his permission first. That's the other good one.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make John laugh.
What's square root of 69?
8-something.
Damn.
Oh, got him. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, make Johnny laugh.
Good one.
The woman that called in earlier about ecology. Save the trees. What are you going to build your house out of, meat?
What?
Oh, some other comedians. Hello. Oh, somebody laughed there. I thought I heard laughter.
John and my dog's laughing. How stupid this is. Hello. Make John
hey,
laugh.
John.
Hello.
Hey, John. How are you?
Real good.
I told my parents I wanted to watch for Christmas, so they let me.
Sorry to hear that.
I saw that one coming a mile away, but I still
me too. Mildly. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I got a. Hey, is John there?
Yeah, yeah, make him laugh.
No,
go ahead.
Left.
Hey, John, hey, did you hear about the lady who walked into the store, or the ugly lady that walked into the store with the two kids?
No, I didn't.
Well, the cashier behind the counter says, hey, are those twins? She goes, no. Geez, I'm surprised you got laid two times.
You know, it, when you say lady and then you have to change it to ugly lady right out of the gate.
Uh-huh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That's a stumble.
Hello.
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 The Slice of Americana.
Right here.
I know a lot of you are wondering, who watches Jay Leno?
Right.
Well, you're listening.
Here we go.
You're listening. We obviously share a lot of audience. We're going to stop making fun of Jay Leno.
Yeah, maybe.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, make Johnny laugh.
Guy goes into a sperm bank with a ski mask and a gun. He points the gun at the girl. The girl says, we don't have any money here. He says, I don't want any money. I want you to drink that vial. I want you to drink that vial or I'm going to shoot you. Girl reaches over there, downs the vial real quick. Guy pulls the mask off. It's her husband. He says, now, see, did that kill you?
Heard it. Thank you.
I've not heard it.
I haven't heard it.
Pretty good.
I haven't heard that at all.
That's pretty good. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Guy did a good job of telling that.
Yes,
as well.
Absolutely.
Hello, you're on the air. Make Johnny laugh.
Johnny?
Yes.
Beth-Ann's meat.
Beth-Ann's meat curtain.
And welcome the very first of the really bad cell phones.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make John laugh.
Hi, what's long and yellow and rarely rings?
An unlisted banana.
Right. Yeah, that was...
Oh, God!
Right, and...
come on, Al!
Did I mention it's $500 you're playing for here?
Oh,
hello,
well.
It's Don and Mike Show.
Now, get ready for the material to be tweaked
here
up
we
now.
Go. We're almost to the two-minute warning.
Punch it up, people!
Rob is almost going to scream 2 minutes.
2 minutes! Remaining?
Yep. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make John laugh.
Hey, John, for you, I'm going to hit myself in the nuts with the water bottle. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
1, 2, 3. Oh, oh my God. Oh.
Might have been funnier if you'd actually done it.
Yep. We need proof.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make John laugh.
What's better than winning three gold medals in the Special Olympics?
Not being retarded.
Okay, buddy. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make John laugh. Hello.
How's it?
Come on, make him laugh, please.
Go.
John.
Yes.
Hey, why'd the monkey fall out of the tree? Because it was dead.
Okay. With the, how's it, the John, hey.
Don and Mike, hello.
John.
Yes.
The guy walks into the bedroom when he's got a sheep under his arm. He says, see, honey, this is a pig I have sex with when you have a headache. And the woman says, well, hey, idiot, you know that's actually a sheep. He says, I'm talking to you.
The guy says, what? Hold
so
on.
Badly told.
Hold on.
Yeah. It was so badly told.
I didn't even understand it.
A lot of potential in that joke.
Did you laugh, John? No, you didn't laugh.
No, well, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Explain it to me later.
Right. When my lover's not in the mood.
Right.
Yes, John.
Hello. Yes, come on, I'm ready.
Yes, now that Beth Ann moved down south, is she below you?
Hello, Don and Mike. Make John laugh.
Yes, after Hurricane Katrina, George Bush was given a press conference, and he was asked by one of the reporters, what do you think about Roe v. Wade? He said, I don't care as long as they get out.
Oh, my God. How come you weren't in Katrina? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mike, no.
Hello.
Don't do it, Mike.
Hello, John.
Yes. You laugh at that, Mike?
I laughed at the joke, not the way it was told.
You bastard. Hello.
John.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm well.
I'll be a horse's ass.
Yes, you will be.
Oh, we're out of time.
How unfortunate.
No winner today.
No. And rightly so.
Gotta rule with the iron fist today.
Right. This is a pig I have sex with when you're not in the mood.
She says, that's not a pig, it's a sheep. He says, I was talking to the sheep.
Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Now I'm laughing.
See, now it's funny.
See, now it's a funny joke.
Now I'm laughing.
John got a few. There were a few smiles. There may have been just an approach of a chuckle, but not nothing did it for you.
Nope.
Okay, John, pick a number between. We'll give two more people a chance. And this is it. Pick a number between 1 and 6.
2.
Bonus.
Hey, John.
Hello.
Hey, did you hear about the veterinarian who went into business with a taxidermist?
No, I didn't.
They had a sign above their business that said, no matter what, you get your pet back.
Okay, now pick a number between 1 and 10.
9.
Again, just indicating which bank of phones we go to, right. which line gets on the air.
Very good.
Hello.
No pressure.
John.
Yes.
What's the last thing Jesus told the Mexicans before he died?
Not sure.
Name everything after me and don't do crap till I get back.
Well told.
Poorly told.
There you go, everybody. That's how you play. Make Johnny laugh.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry to disappoint, guys.
You didn't disappoint.
No disappointment. I love listening to that. Seriously, if we didn't, I could do that all day. I could talk about my radio career all day. I could talk about getting it on all day.
Right.
We're going to move on with the show. We'll come back. You're a tough nut to crack.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We'll come back to you next week.
All right.
Very good.
Good for you.
Thanks, guys.
Good job.
Bye-bye.
Roe v. Wade. Roe versus Wade.
What's so great is it's such a new joke.
I hadn't heard it.
You had never heard it?
No, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, thank God.
I hadn't heard it. I wouldn't have laughed.
Playing with you.
I wouldn't have laughed if I was playing by myself.
Right.
With myself. I would not because... Because,
and then I sat and really worked it.
Because it wasn't told well. See, I when we're not playing the game, I think about the jokes themselves and not the way they're told.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hear a fresh one like, this is the pig. It was so badly told. But now that I'm telling it all over again, I realize it's just not even a good joke.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
it's
not pig,
bad.
The
pig
it's the pig I have sex with when you're not in the mood.
Right.
Right.
I wasn't talking to you.
That's a sheep.
Could have been a winner.
Right.
Welcome to Make Mike Laugh.
Right.
Mike's now really laughing.
Yeah. I was talking to the duck. It's a variation on an old drunk joke,
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so the ugly lady that walks in holding, with a duck on a leash.
Uh-huh.
You know.
No.
Says, hey, lady, where'd you get the dog? She said, my dear sir, that's not a dog, that's a duck. He said, I was talking to the duck. Same kind of joke right there.
Right.
Good.
Did the duck row or wave?
The duck was actually a sheep.
A horny sheep.
With no arms.
Ah!
Baby seal walks into a club. At the top of the stairs after a house fire.
Oh, Christopher Reeve.
All right,
now I'm laughing. Okay.
Wow.
We'll be back.
Went to town riding on a pony. Hey, oh!
Helen Keller.
I'm over here now.
All the things that make us laugh. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike! Remember that having their program every day is a luxury. The Don and Mike Show.
Don't forget that. Let's see. Our website is donandmikewebsite.com. Go there. You can download a segment of the show every day.
Wonderful.
And we're also on iTunes with the iPod thing. So go to iTunes, and good news for right now, and I really mean this for right now, maybe you saw the headlines in the Wall Street Journal or in your local financial news today, that since they have combined CBS Radio and TV and taken all of the other stuff, like Nick at Night and Viacom and the movies companies out of the company portfolio.
Right.
The good news is now that it's just the TV and radio division.
Yes.
Down $9 billion. Bravo! And that's with a B.
Bravo.
And the reason I mention that is, of course, to keep morale at an all-time high, and also to let you, the home listener, know that very soon, I would imagine, when they find out that like 20,000 people that are signed up for the podcast,
right,
they're going to try to get their 99 cents out of you.
Oh, of course they are.
So go to iTunes now.
Yeah, enjoy it while you can for free.
Go to the podcast. Just to go to the directory under Talk Radio.
Right.
And it's right there. And there's a segment for you to download every day at DonnaMikeWebsite.com as well. Now, a fancy lad. You hear the story that we read yesterday about Hugh Grant?
Yes.
Okay, let's bring him in. Here he is now. Hello. What are you doing?
Taking your picture.
Oh, he's got his camera phone.
What I've done is found a very, very unique way of combating the paparazzi. I combat the paparazzi by taking my own pictures of them. And I say, bully for me.
Now the story...
I turn my camera around the right way.
The story is that there's a guy in New York who's taking Hugh Grant's picture.
Yes.
Hugh Grant then takes the guy's picture back with a cell phone.
Totally frosts me when I'm simply minding my own business, walking to the park with a friend of mine, and someone approaches me and tries to tediously snap away. Well, all I'm trying to do is enjoy a lovely day in New York City, and I combated him by snapping my own picture of him. I said, There, what do you think of me invading your privacy? Your privacy, I should say.
And then the story goes that the guy said something to you and you started to hit him with a manila folder?
I had a tiny manila folder where I was looking at some, it was pornography that I had with me, and I snapped him on the head and I jolted him. I know that I snapped him to attention. I said, no! Wow. I will not allow you to come into the park when I'm walking with a friend of mine and snap my picture for no apparent reason. And he was, of course, taken completely aback. And much like the reptilian individuals that do that type of work...
The paparazzi.
The paparazzi. Yeah. The paparazzi always results to litigation. So, you see, that's what he did. He immediately threatened lawsuits, went to the press, because I gave him exactly what he wanted. I lost control of my temper.
Mm-hmm. Here's how the story played in the newspaper.
Yes.
The paparazzi takes your picture. You playfully take their picture back with your cell phone.
Playfully. It was initially playfully. When he persisted, I found it necessary to defend myself.
Now,
that is why I grabbed the manila folder. The only weapon that I had handy, it was the choice of either the manila folder that I had in my possession, or I could take my keys and scratch it. Now, I did not wish to draw blood.
No.
So what I chose to do was take the manila folder and simply snap him on the head, getting his attention and saying, "Phooey!
Now you...
Phooey, that foolish picture-taking must cease and desist now.
According to the New York Post, you also...
What I had was a manila folder. I was kidding about pornography. It was full of fabric swatches.
He called him a pussy.
I'm constantly reupholstering my apartment, both on the walls and on the very sofas and settees that I have.
You called him a pussy, and then you called him the C-word.
Goodbye, pussy. That's what I said. I said, oh, don't be such a pussy.
And then you called him the C-word.
Yes, I can't say it. I've been told by several of your producers that I'm exactly not able to...
Now, why would you call a guy...
That I said. But it's lovely to say that to a man.
Why would you say that to a man?
Because he's acting like one. And I find that that can be quite shocking if used the proper way. I would say, get away from me, C-word. And they'll take a step back. It's used primarily in the gay community.
Ah.
And I find it works very, very efficiently. I should point out that I enjoy athletic, muscular females. So all of your little insinuations that many of the people in the media say that I'm a homosexual, totally inaccurate.
Oh, no, come on,
I'd like
forget.
To point out the fact
literally.
That I was with a paid hooker.
Oh, Divine
Miss
Brown.
Miss Divine Brown, and she was attempting to please me in a way that Elizabeth could no longer. There, it's out. I share my deepest secrets with you, Donald. It's out there. Off you go.
How come you're wearing that little velvet blue boy suit again?
Yeah. Because I'm told that the last time that I came to your studio...
Fancy lad.
You enjoyed the outfit, and so I duplicated the outfit in its entirety. And if I may go over it with you now, what I'm wearing currently is a long-sleeved blue crushed velvet half jacket with brass buttons, with lovely matching blue shorts and white tights that are pulled up over my tighty-whities. Underneath, I am wearing... Y front.
That's weird.
And I have the tights pulled up over them. At the very bottom, you will notice that I have what would resemble your pilgrim era of black buckled shoes.
Yes.
And I also have a feather pen, and I will take and put this on for you right now. Look what I have on me. Yes, it is a matching crushed blue velvet hat at a jaunty angle with an ostrich feather in it.
Now,
I am Donnie's blue boy today.
Wow.
Gallant, isn't it? Now watch me as I flip my mousy hair. Delightful. Oh,
see, there's a...
Would that Jane Austen would have a movie for me every year. That would make me so very, very happy.
There's such a fine line between the way you're dressed, which is the way you're dressed, and like the Austin Powers character.
I understand.
I mean, you...
But Austin Powers, Mike Myers would not be cast in a romantic comedy. You would never see him in a romantic comedy.
You understand.
Pull it off.
You look like Blue Boy.
Blue Boy is that it's my costume du jour.
Have you ever heard of a magazine?
As the French would say. Yeah. My costume du jour for you, that's what I've done. Like soup du jour, soup of the day, if you will. Uh-huh. Here I am in my crushed blue velvet outfit, my tidy whities with the tights pulled over, the blue buckled shoes, and here I am to sing and perform for you and dance, monkey dance, just as you wish.
Have you heard of Blue Boy magazine?
I have heard of Blue Boy, yes. It's a magazine for, I believe, homosexuals.
Yeah.
Is it not? Yes, I'm not a frequenter of that. I prefer We. Are you familiar with that?
W-E-Y.
That is a semi-pornographic magazine, very popular in the UK. Not as well-read over here, but with lovely pictures of women, many of them black, which is what I enjoy. I truly do.
I like Divine Brown.
Well, thusly, that is why I pursued that. I have several women in America that I would love to just have the opportunity to grab their hand, take them to Central Park for a walk, and chew their ears off. I don't mean literally, of course.
Get out of here, you C-word.
There you are. I wish I could say it. It's such a liberating word. I understand that your censors in this country, the Board of Regents and powdered wigs that censor what you say on the air here. Now, do you go to a commission where they have robes and wigs?
Yes.
And
yes.
Do you go before them? If you utter something distasteful, as far as they're concerned, do you go before them and say, I sincerely apologize?
We tried that.
And then they scold you. Do you stand up in a box before them or in a cage and have them pronounce sentence on you as far as your crime of uttering obscenity?
They pound wooden nails through our hands.
Yeah. Oh, that's horrible. That's much like Jesus.
No, when Jesus had it done, it was metal nails.
Of course.
They had metal back then.
Any moron, any S-bag drunk would know that.
That's right.
That, of course, it's metal nails. Who could possibly come up with that preposterous conundrum?
I spent about 10 minutes debating it with Mike yesterday.
Oh, your partner?
Yeah, my good friend.
The
Mike.
One with the substance abuse issue? Of course, don't debate him. Don't debate him. He's delusional. Of course we all know that. We all know that. Everyone in show business knows that. We call him, you know what he's known on across the pond?
What's that?
Your partner.
What?
O'Mara.
Yeah.
We refer to him as the Souse. He is the Souse. Hmm. I occasionally correspond with Robert Guccione. You of Penthouse fame? He enjoys the international language, he does, of nudity. And I believe that the nude is a free expression of American erotic art that should be allowed to breathe free.
Hugh?
Let it run free like a pony in a wheat field.
Hugh,
yes.
Look at me for a second.
Of course. No. Stop that, you see! Stop it! Stop it! I'm going to get my magazine.
Don't hit
now. Stop it! I'm going to hit you right from ahead.
You pussy!
Magazine.
Stop it, you pussy!
I will hit that. You're a pussy. Go away. I'm simply... Stop!
You're
I will not. I refuse. I'm wearing my Blue Boy outfit just for you, and it was not to be recorded or documented in any way. And who the hell are you?
That's Rob.
What is he doing here, hovering about?
The producer.
I don't care for it.
He hovers
a lot. I want to hit into the magazine. I have a nude of Anthony Blair. It's in my mother's foyer.
Now,
it's lovely.
That's
the Senator and Prime Minister.
I got that mixed up with the
Where
Andrew
are my
Blake.
Dustless watercress sandwiches? I requested watercress and cucumber sandwiches with dill sauce, and they're supposed to be delivered to me on a silver tray with a man in a white coat and a black tie.
All right, hold on, let me call Katie.
Please. Bring those sandwiches to me as soon as possible. Don't
John?
You understand that you are in the... Hello?
Yeah, let me talk to the waiter, please.
Hold on. Hello?
This is the guy, this is Joe, the guy that's getting your sandwiches.
I specifically ordered watercress and cucumber sandwiches with a lovely dill sauce to be served on a silver tray with a man in a white coat and a black tie who is to bring them to me forthwith. Can that be accomplished?
Sure, fag.
Very good. Off you go, then. And to drink a warm, flat fresca.
He's on it.
I need it now. I truly do. Did he refer to me as a fag?
I think he said he wanted a cigarette.
I cannot possibly work with him any longer.
Goodbye, Joe.
Absolutely no way.
You too.
No way. And who was the man in the military uniform? I didn't realize that you had some people in the service.
That's our good friend, Buzz.
What is for you, young man? Are you doing a tour of duty anytime soon?
No, I haven't planned on it.
I shy away. They don't cast me in military dramas. They seem to... I one time was auditioning for... What was the role? It was in the desert with your American actor, George Clooney. I'm trying to think. Three Kings, and I auditioned, and they said, no, you're simply not what we're looking for. I was going to play the British officer, and they eliminated me from the script completely. I was going to come in and go, no, the gold is over here. Go over here. I was supposed to play a mercenary British officer.
Yeah.
But they said, no, for some reason there was... A lack of credibility.
Huh.
A lack of credibility in
my
role.
I thought you should have been cast as Paul Lynde when they redid Bewitched.
Now, I understand why you're going with that. They warned me about you. What you're going to do is you're going to stereotype me in a role of being a homosexual. But you should know that simply because a mom talks like this and wears the blue boy outfit that he wore specifically for you...
A mom?
I fancy girls. How must I prove this to you? Would you like me to bring in a series of magazines and demonstrate the fact that they are able in some way to bring me excitement?
Tell me.
Yes.
While keeping in mind that we're on the radio with these new standards.
Yes. Incidentally, I'd like to say that I'm the real you. When I come on your program, I'm not the normally reserved, shy person you've seen there.
Tell me, as one man to another.
One man to another. You and me, macho, mono, wrestling the bear.
Elizabeth Hurley, man, I would let her eat crackers in my bed.
Of course.
What was it like?
Very difficult
being with her.
Extraordinary, if I may speak about Elizabeth. An extraordinary difficult time for me when I was caught with Divine Brown in Los Angeles in the car. She was performing an act on me, as everyone knows. We were arrested, both of us.
Right.
It was very embarrassing as I was taken down to the station house and everyone peppered me with questions saying, Hugh, how could you possibly go elsewhere with a paid prostitute when you have that vision of loveliness waiting for you?
To answer the question.
It's quite simple.
What?
Odor.
Oh.
Really?
I'm terribly sorry.
VO?
No, my own.
Oh.
She was repelled by it.
Oh, by your odor?
That's what she claimed. I would scrub. I bought specifically a raspberry soap that was designed to... I know this is a family show, so I will attempt to present my case in as...
To mask some smell?
Mask and also get rid of anything. It was disinfectant and raspberries scented so that it would be perfect. And she claimed numerous times that she could not go near my bits and pieces. So I finally had to resort to other avenues as far as release.
Oh.
And it was quite frustrating. She claimed that after it all... that I reeked of dill and crabs.
Oh.
She said, I cannot go near you, Hugh. You smell of the sea.
Listen, just
and I
me
said,
down.
I do not. Please come back. I've scrubbed in the tub with raspberry. So just the kind that you wanted me to have, and now you're telling me that you can't
just
go near that.
As a
so
man.
What do you expect me to do
as a
when
man.
A woman refuses
describe,
to fulfill her marital obligation?
Describe making love.
Yeah.
To Elizabeth Hurley.
No, it was bliss.
Sure.
Pure and simple bliss. It didn't matter. She was not necessarily, how shall I say, you Americans would say, energetic. Would that be a proper word? Proper usage?
She laid there?
Exactly.
Not
but it
vigorous.
Didn't matter because really it was simply, it was like making love with a wonderful work of art. Until, of course, she categorically refused by jumping up in the bedroom and exclaiming, what is that smell? What is that foul odor?
Yeah.
And she insisted it was coming from me when I insisted the window was slightly ajar and it was the garbage smell coming from the flat next door. That's what I told her.
Huh.
It kicked into high gear after she slept. She didn't care for that
either. And you?
I would prefer... No! Keep it away. I was talking about Elizabeth.
Smile.
That was always the best time for me. When she would be sleeping. Because I'm light as a feather, you know. I would finish my business, as it were, and she would not be aware till the next morning. Always peeved her rather significantly, too. She'd come to the breakfast table, and we'd eat our eggs that we had at the little pedestals with a shell, and we'd crack them open, eat them with the tiny little egg spoons. And she would be very frustrated and said, did you last night? I said, of course I did. I'm the weight of a mosquito. You didn't even notice. I believe you were dreaming, though, because it was slightly more energetic.
Who did my velvet fly is down?
Queen of Boy Love at Jeopardy.
My, my.
With this big C.
Buckle my shoes, pussy.
877-365-3636. And I know we need two callers this week, so call right now if you want to play.
Very good.
Love at Jeopardy with Hugh Grant.
Like it, big boy?
Having a good time. Always great to be here across the pond on the Don and Mark Show. Having a wonderful time on a Friday afternoon. Welcome. Enjoying myself. Thoroughly. Good. Are you ready to play the game, pussies?
Could take a break. Don't hit anybody with any manila folders.
I'm still working on that American slang that I did when I did that Mafia movie. Wow. Do you remember that Mafia movie I did?
The one with James Caan, Mickey the Blue Eyes. Eyes.
Yes. Here's the latest one. Hit that thing. I'm going to hit that thing. It's delightful. Hit it. You combine violence with sexuality. It's delightful. It really is. I don't smell of the sea, do I? Do I smell like a clam?
Now, do you mean S-E-A or the C word that you called the photographer?
In some cases, dear boy, they're relatively similar.
Same thing. Okay, well.
Okay.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Allow myself to introduce myself. My name is Richie Cunningham.
Now, is this you?
No. Of course that's not me. You know that's not me. I make fine films, not those silly, silly pieces of theater. But
sure this is not you?
He's Canadian.
Okay, hold on.
He's Canadian.
This is my wife, Oprah.
It's Austin Powers. Hmm? Not funny.
My name is Number Two. This is my Italian confidential secretary. Her name is Alotta. Alotta Machado.
The Don and Mike Show.
Silly entertainment.
They love to make pudding. Don and Mike.
We couldn't find Susan by the Buckingham. But here's Don't You Care.
You don't love me.
Hi, Hugh.
Are they a British group?
No, they're from Chicago.
No, no matter. I'm still in a bit of a snit.
Why that?
I have it on good authority that your building is completely surrounded by paparazzi.
Yes.
And I don't have any manila folders or any method whatsoever of defending myself. I'm furious at you and all of your staff. Stop, stop, put the cameras away, or I'll scratch your eyes out like a little kitten.
You C-word?
Beware, pussy. Quite fun, though. Always a delight dropping by your studio, even though it's really rather dank. Rather dank and dark and dirty. It could use a good scrubbing, would you not agree?
Yes.
Of course it would.
We agree.
Let me hike up my blue shorts and get on with it. Off you go.
Hugh Grant, let's play Low Budget Jeopardy.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy, known to the studio as a student from Bursonsville, Maryland. How quaint. His name is Kurt Radcliffe.
Let me find him here. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, what do you got, sir?
Howdy.
And now let's welcome our second challenger, an executive director for a non-profit organization from Las Vegas. Let's say hello to Eric Mann.
Hello, Eric.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Eric.
And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Company, Kurt. And Eric, please don't screw with El Hoop. And
you.
Please make welcome Alex Trebek-Geronimo.
Thank you so much. Please, no photos.
No, please, no photos. Put the cameras down, or I'm going to be forced to have a full-fledged knockdown, drag-out tantrum. If you take even one more snapshot with your brownie, I shall get fussy. The best cameras. My good old-fashioned brownie. It's not to be eaten. It's to be used for photography.
Guys, here are your categories.
The categories. Give us the categories.
They are this week on the Don and Mike Show.
I've been listening rapidly.
Taken for granted.
Oh, I get it. I hope it's something about me.
And not so Great Britain.
Oh no. Well, that's all right. I've made a lot of money over here.
So we've got this week with Don and Mike on the Don and Mike Show.
Pay attention now.
Taken for granted.
Right.
Yes. And not so Great Britain.
Wonderful.
And let's see, Eric, you're further away. You're out in Vegas. We'll start with you.
Let's do Taken for Granted, please.
Taken for granted.
Here we go. We're off and running. Off you go.
He's on the $50 bill.
Who is Ulysses S. Grant?
$1 for you.
And you should just know, because I heard like a click that sounded like someone was hanging up.
Mm-hmm.
You were just within a nun's pube of being
Oh, yes, that's right, the buzzer. The horrible, evil buzzer. Right.
But I thought someone was hanging up, so they got like an extra break. Good for you.
Eric, you're still in control. Select again, please.
Let's stay with the same category, please.
Oh, excuse me, Hugh?
Yes.
Would you look out that window?
There we are.
No!
Smile.
Get away from that window. You're no longer allowed to be a part of my life. I will take this number two pencil and I will throw it at you, risking you severe injury. Stay away. You C-word. Faggots.
Wow.
Yeah, I've said it. Good heavens. There's a mouse dropping on my crumpet. There's vermin in here.
Here we go. This week on the show for... I'm sorry, Taken for Granted. I lost my place.
Yeah.
Taken for Granted.
Uh-huh. Taken for Granted.
For two. Ed Asner played him on TV.
Who is Lou Grant?
$2 yes. For you, Eric. Another correct answer, and you're roaring away. Very good, very good. This is a wonderful cricket match. Select again.
Let's stay with the same category.
He never really said, Judy, Judy, Judy.
Who is Cary Grant?
$3. Very tough question. You run
good
the category.
Ball. Good ball.
Congratulations. You're still in control, and I'd say you've got a leg up on your young competition.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Select again, please.
Let's go with Not So Great Britain.
Not So Great Britain. I got to admit, it's the capital of the Not So Great Country.
What is London?
$1 yes. For you. Yes, Bully. Lovely old London. The West End, my flop, my friends, theater,
Soho.
Wedding dresses.
Is Soho New York?
Your original.
Soho is.
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
The Hippodrome.
Soho, which always somehow reminds me of Homo.
Russell Square. Feeding pigeons. Drinking tea.
Oh, and don't forget the Thames.
The Thames.
The Thames.
The Thames, of course. Pronounce it correctly. The Thames. What a delightful sense of humor you have. Where'd you go? Let's rock on, football coach.
Okay.
Select again, Eric.
Let's stay with the same category.
Okay. She is the chief of state.
Who is Margaret Thatcher?
No.
Gotcha.
Now here's your opportunity. Kurt Radcliffe, you've been sitting on the sidelines. Time for you to bully up and jump in the game.
Okay. I don't know the answer to that, though.
Wonderful.
That would be Queen Elizabeth.
Delightful. Eric, you're still in control. Select again.
And can I just point the absurdity of that? A woman as chief of state.
She's the queen. I'll put up my dukes and fight for her. She's my queen, and I've been known to dress like her. Very good. Select again, Eric.
Let's stay with Not So Great Britain, please.
He's the George Bush of Britain.
Who's Tony...
Kurt
Blair.
Your chance to steal.
Who's Tony Blair?
Hey. $3, Kurt. Way to go. You were actually paying attention.
Oh, yes, I was?
You know, actually, I think Eric screamed the name out at the end.
Yeah. I did.
Yes, but you'd given him the buzzer before he said Blair, and that means that Kurt is in control with a total of $3. It's time for you to select, Kurt.
All right, this week on the Dynamite Show.
Okay, here we go. I hope you listen to the whole show this week.
All right.
For one, when Buzz saw these floating in the pool, he refused to go swimming.
What are kids?
Children, yes.
$1 for you, Kurt. You're off and running. Select again.
Same category. This week on the Dynamite Show.
He goes number one, uncontrollably.
Eric, it's your chance to steal.
Who is Mike O'Mara?
No.
Hey, no.
Watch out. Beware.
That would be G. Gordon Liddy.
Right.
Ah.
Remember, he wets his pants all the time. We were going to have him on the show this week. Then he canceled when he discovered that we were going to discuss his incontinence.
And I'd just like to say to you, Eric Mann of Las Vegas, that answer made you look like a silly ass. Mike
O'Mara. I'm sorry, Mr. Grant.
Say what you will about Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Bladder, bowel, the man's name is Control.
That's right.
Total Control. When it's time, is it ever time? Kurt, you're in control. Select again, please.
This week on the Dynamite Show.
Last question on the big board. Psychic Anthony Carr's favorite musical instrument.
The skin flute. I don't know.
Eric, your chance to steal.
What is the piano?
No.
Both of you are wrong. It was a saxophone.
And that is the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy. Isn't everyone having a delightful time?
Now, Hugh, who's got what here?
Kurt has $4. Eric has $7. The relatively...
very close march, and we should have a very interesting finish.
All right, fellas, will both of you please stand by? Don't forget to answer in the form of a question. And good luck, and here's your answer, your category for Final Low Budget Jeopardy. Boy, I could go Olympics. I could go TV. Now, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Technology.
Oh, blast.
That's your category.
Blast technology. I can't figure anything out.
And here's the answer. On Wednesday, this service sold its 1 billionth legal music download. Speed of Sound by the gay band Coldplay.
Oh, I love them.
That's why I said the gay band Coldplay.
The singer married a Paltrow.
Yeah, that's just fake. That's like you and Elizabeth Hurley.
Of course it is.
This last Wednesday, the service sold its 1 billionth legal music download, Speed of Sound, by the gay band Coldplay. Don't forget, answer the form of a question, fellas, and good luck.
All contestants on No Budget Jeopardy will receive U-Grout mascara. That's right, new from Max Factor. Ask any of my leading ladies what they like most about me, and they'll always say, his long, luxurious lashes.
Yeah.
I now share my wonderful secret with you. My mascara gives you long, luxurious lashes, and they last for a week or two. And I'll also throw in my Hugh Grant permanent eye and brow liner, all in a handy pouch with a miniature mirror and a suite. Now back to No Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek.
Bullet! You mean S-W-E-E-T?
A candy.
Yeah,
you call it candy, we call it sweet. Just like we call them chips, we call them crisps. And everything else, balsack. Jolly good. Hip, hip, chin up and all that.
Who do we want to go to first here?
Kurt Radcliffe of Burtonsville, Maryland.
All right, Kurt.
Yes.
Technology, this last Wednesday, the service sold its 1 billionth legal music download, Speed of Sound by the gay band Coldplay.
What is iTunes?
Got it.
Congratulations, you double your score. Hang in there, you could be the big winner.
Now, let's see. Eric, if you got the right answer, you are the big wiener.
I said, what is iTunes?
Excuse me, point of reference, you did not.
Oh, iMusic, I guess I said. Yeah.
That's right.
And that means joy of joy, he's coming back next week. Kurt Radcliffe is our low-budget Jeopardy champion.
See, dude,
everything is right with the world.
Eric, that's why we ask you to tell Joe or John your answer.
Yeah, I know. I messed up.
Sorry. It's like writing it down so that you can't change it. Anyway, yes, iMusic, no iTunes, yes. That means, Kurt, you're the big wiener. Eric, don't go away mad. Just go away. Here now is my favorite pussy, my favorite C word.
C-word, don't call me that.
My favorite blue boy.
I'll snap your picture.
Thriller in Manila folder. Here is Hugh Grant to tell you what you want. Hugh.
Kurt, you double your score to $8. We throw in a $25 bonus for a grand total of $33. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Look forward to chatting with you next week. And Eric, here are your parting gifts. Are you ready?
Yes.
You've won an MP3 player, courtesy of Samsung, and Circuit City. Circuit City makes it simple to learn about the latest new entertainment technology, like Samsung HD TV with DLC technology. Learn more at Samsung.com or into Circuit City. Just roll in there today. Thanks so much, and thanks for playing the game, you delightful man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you both. Have a great weekend. Kurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, dude.
All right, have a good weekend, guys.
Okay.
That's right. Get some rest.
So nice to have Joe's people back.
Wonderful.
You know, they weren't as bad as the people we had on before.
No, of course not. Foolish. What an overstatement I made.
Wrong again, Hugh.
Oh, Hugh, it's been great having you with us.
Always a pleasure, and I'm so glad that I could dress up for you and wear my feathers.
Now, the plan tonight, what are your plans tonight?
I will be going back to my hotel, an undisclosed location, having a bit of sherry, and then it's off to bed with one of my favorite men, women.
One of them. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
There he is.
He made it up.
Buzz. Wait, what are your lead stories tonight, Buzz?
Tonight, Oprah talks dirty. The first NBA trade of a sex offender.
Oh.
And how computers have made life miserable.
How delightfully sordid.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
On the Don and Mike Show.
I have to wee.
Hey. leave.
It's time for me to take my leave. I must wee.
Hey, you see word.
Thank you for that.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Out of the mouths of tards comes the Don and Mike Show.
Nirvana, way before Madonna. Buzz, no. Next stepping tonight. Let's
none.
Not talk about Bush tonight. Come on.
You got it.
It's Friday. Let's talk about boobs. Let's talk about boobs. Let's talk about boobs. Boobs, boobs.
Yeah.
Boobs.
Another part.
Buzz's News and Comments tonight brought to you by Hard Times Cafe. All the great all the great food you love to eat. Great food, good people, cheap prices. Hard Times Cafe.
Try the chili.
What a great read by me that was. And now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Derek.
Well, as the FCC fines CBS over $500,000 for a half-second glimpse of Janet Jackson's pierced nipple, Oprah continues to dodge the fines and talk dirty. Yesterday, we told you the government was fining CBS and Fox and NBC and a bunch of radio shows for foul-ups, bleeps, and blunders.
Right.
Oprah, meanwhile, has been forging through the February ratings sweep with a string of sexually explicit shows. Yesterday, it was a woman who had done 89 men without protection and kept a video diary about it. Quoting Oprah, "So you've had men blank on your face?" Oprah can say the clinical word, but we can't.
Does it start with E?
Yes. It's a long word that begins with E.
And ends with E.
Yeah.
Or E.
Starts and ends.
E.
She said that? Yeah, she said that
wow.
on the air. She can say it, we can't.
I'll never let Stedman do that, baby.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, some places I will go. I will not go there.
No way.
Baby.
Don and Mike and Rob and John and I have to go to a meeting with CBS lawyers next week who will try to tell us how to stay out of trouble. In the meantime, let's see what we can get away with. You won't hear this on Oprah.
Girlfriend, you mean to tell me you let him first word E, last word E on your face? E. Honey. Rose.
You won't hear this on Oprah. You already know.
Tell me something else.
That sex.
Does he have a F-U with the A? Oh, Oprah's angels. I want all of my angels tonight to go home and let their husbands first word E, last word E all over their faces.
You won't see that in the book club.
My book club. And then I'm going to yell at that man who wrote that book again.
And tell him everything's okay.
I say, I believed you. I let you E first word, last word E in my face.
Oh, Oprah.
Oprah Winfrey.
Here's our clinical story. You already know that sex with someone else is better than sex by yourself. Now,
well,
really?
Let me just say I'm pretty good.
I know.
Yeah, and there have been times that I would say I enjoy my own company.
Oh, sure.
Who knows you better than you?
Overall. Anyway,
this is Rip Taylor. I will be at the Metroliner tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C.
He knows.
He does.
You already know sex with somebody else is better than sex by yourself. Now scientists know how much better and why. A new international study says that when men and women reach that magic moment, the hormone prolactin is released into the bloodstream. It counteracts the dopamine the brain released during sex, and the result is a feeling of satisfaction. In both sexes, however, there was more prolactin in the blood after partnered sex.
Tough fact.
You know me. I'm fussy.
Tough fact and prolactin.
That's right. More prolactin in the blood after partnered sex. 400 times more prolactin.
She's pretty and she's nice.
After partnered sex.
I don't think she's got any prolactin.
Lady like that.
But no.
So, partnered sex is 400 times more powerful than alone sex.
Excellent.
According to these scientists.
Can you hear me?
Since
that's all that counts, for God's sakes.
He knows. And since prolactin also keeps you from going again, that's why it's easier to do if you're all by yourself.
What for?
Science marches on.
Prolactin sounds like one of those drug ads.
You can forget about my sister. She got a boyfriend.
Take some prolactin and call me in the morning.
I think that is that?
You had it. It sounds like athlete's foot medicine. No word on how many men pleasured themselves to yesterday's Oprah, but we do have some figures on cell phone porn. We wondered out loud on the show recently.
You know, that
I know. Here.
Really, that's just exciting and new.
yes, it is. And, as it turns out, pretty common. We wondered out loud on the show, I think this week, who would download porn to their cell phone.
I would be skeezed out if I saw somebody.
It was you, Buzz. You were the winner. Well, Rob walked over there to see what was wrong with your studio, and you were watching porn over there during the show.
Well, not, I wouldn't say watching it. Perhaps displaying tasteful nudes is really the way I would prefer
right. to keep up his interest level.
That's right.
prolactin.
The prolactin, yes. Now, the answer is, to who would do this, the answer is more people than download porn to their computer.
Who would download porn to their cell phones? More than on their computers, really?
That's right. After all, at home, the kids are on the computers. So, pardon the expression, cell phones beat computers and PDAs hands down. Google says more people are searching for adult websites on their phones than on their PCs. In fact, 1 in 5 internet searches performed on cell phones are for porn, compared to less than 1 in 10 for computers.
Buzz, off base here, but not totally off base. Did they find out about the crackberries today? Do people get to still use their crackberries?
A judge says that he will make a final ruling on it immediately, but he refused to order the shutdown of the BlackBerry service today. So
that's good news.
BlackBerries are still running for a few more days at least.
I know that we all can do internet on our phones. If I wanted to search for it, I wouldn't know how. Do you know how?
To search for porn on a phone?
Yeah.
No.
You?
No,
I couldn't.
But I've never done it. But I figured you'd just go to like a home page on your phone through the internet, and then you'd type in a search engine XXX.
I wouldn't know how to find it, but it calls me.
Aren't you like me when you go to the web?
Uh-huh.
When you get to, and now we were all pulling out our phones. when you get to the point where you get to the web on your phone, and you have to start using the keys like. 2 is ABC,
yeah. Right.
And by the time you're trying to type in whatever it is you want to do, you end up going, you know what, F it. I'll do it when I get home.
I fear the internet on my phone. I'm comfortable with it at a computer.
Hello?
But I fear it on the phone.
Hi, Mike.
Rob, I'm surfing for porn.
You know how to do that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, can you show me later?
Rob called me, but I had it on Vibrate.
Vibrate.
Okay, well, hang up.
Does that help surfing for porn?
I'll hang up.
Right.
As much as we enjoy computers and gadgets, they may be making our lives tougher, not easier. Another new study shows that Americans are working more and getting less done.
We're kind of having a race now as to who's going to get to the porn first on their phones.
Good luck. Should I proceed or should I wait?
Hold on. I've got a call.
I got him.
Are you calling Rob?
Yep.
Good.
Have you found any porn yet?
What?
Oh, it's like Echo.
See, I got you on speakerphone.
That's cool. La, 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 la.
Here's something to back Buzz up.
What?
Network busy. Try again.
Uh-huh.
Jesus, yeah.
Are you trying to get porno?
Yeah. I'm trying again.
Well, I'll find some.
What, on yourself?
Yeah.
Anyway, just go ahead, Buzz.
All right. Well, anyway, these computers and gadgets like cell phones actually making life tougher. New study says Americans are working more, getting less done.
You know it, you're a bastard. That's a picture of your own child.
And me with her.
That's just sick.
Hot.
Hello.
Hi, buddy boy.
Your son, Robert.
It's PG-13.
Sound guilty.
Wow.
Being hot.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
Someone's going to prison.
My godson. Hot. I love you. You're a bastard. That's great. That's so great. He pulled out a picture of him with his kid.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's just sick.
What, Mike?
Nothing. I'm just going through the thing here.
I hear your thing going. Doom, doom, doom.
This is really. This is really hard because it's so to speak. I got news, movies and TV, music, humor, city guides, shopping, travel.
Go to travel.
Under Thailand.
Travel.
That'll do it.
I'm going to go under movies and TV.
What's next, Buzz?
We were still talking about productivity and how gadgets distract us from our work. As perhaps they are now. I think that illustrates the point beautifully. When they did this productivity study 10 years ago, we were finishing 3/4 of our work each day.
Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Did you know you can personalize your MediaNet homepage? Just click Edit in the upper right-hand corner to add links like your favorite sports teams. Hey,
ScatLover.com.
What, Buzz? I'm sorry, go ahead.
10 years ago, when they did the study, we were getting 3/4 of our work done on an average working day. That was before the gadgets and computers really took hold. Now, today, instead of 3/4, we're getting just 2/3 of our tasks completed by the end of the day.
I'm not getting this task completed.
You know what I just did?
One.
I just transferred 7,414 bytes, and I'm not sure exactly what I transferred.
Some virus, probably.
This is the problem with using the internet on the cell phone.
Yeah, it's very spooky, I think.
What are portals?
A byte.
That's like at the Capitol Center.
A portal is like a glory hole.
Oh.
Okay, I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
In comparison.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Just hang on. I'm getting there.
Uh-huh.
In what way are you getting there?
Okay, hold on. Oh, Buzz. God.
What?
All right.
What, Mike? What?
It's really making it hard.
Yeah.
Okay, would you stop
tell
with
me
the
about
dirty
it.
Talk? Jesus Christ.
That's ridiculous. I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore. Wasting my time.
These days, we're...
Maybe late already.
We're answering emails, IMing, and checking voicemails. These days, we spend 16 hours a week on the computer on average. Quoting a researcher, getting more done is getting in the way of getting more done. Quoting another researcher, technology, by speeding everything up, has slowed everything down. It's good to be a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
TiVo's a great gadget that actually saves time, but one advertiser's even found a way to use that against us, and that's our story when we come back.
Don?
Yep.
Your phone.
Don's phone's ringing.
Hello?
Hello?
We put him on speaker. Hello? 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 I'm calling myself.
That's pretty neat.
Not as satisfying as calling with someone else. What have I done?
That is so much fun.
Hey. Like an acid drip, Buzz.
The outer limits.
That's Susan by the Buckingham.
Everybody dance.
Dance, retards. Dance, tards.
Whoa, 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 whoa. La, 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 la.
Dumbest show ever. Dumbest show ever.
We are afraid of idiots.
Come to us at the planet, Melmac.
Give us your women. We have come for your women.
We will buy them. Sell them to us.
Oh my God.
Who is Hughes?
He is an alien form with a blackberry.
What?
Yes?
What is that?
How they're going to use TiVo against us.
Someone's just getting in their car right now. They're not going, what is wrong with the radio?
Yeah, there are a lot of people listening to this show that are just nodding knowingly.
Morons inside the radio.
This is the next step.
What is it? What's that?
How they're going to use TiVo against us.
Ah, got you right there.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, yeah.
When they lay it out, they play it out. Don and Mike.
And now here is Guy Bernsey. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. TiVo is a great gadget that does save time, but one advertiser's even found a way to use that against us.
TiVo bonk.
Advertisers know you're using TiVo to skip their commercial. So KFC launched an ad today that promises a secret message if you play it back in slow motion. Solve the puzzle and you get a small buffalo chicken sandwich free. So for 5 minutes' work, you can save a whopping 99 cents.
People will do it.
Yeah.
Time you could have spent downloading cell phone porn.
They will, but I still maintain that TiVo is the best. TiVo is even the best when you're watching real TV.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
For instance, American Idol. If you wait, I think Mike had mentioned this to me. I've done this myself. If you wait, like, until 8:30 to start watching American Idol.
Right. Then you get it commercial free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You eliminate the 30 minutes of commercials.
Right.
That they're already shoving down your throat.
That's a good way of putting it. You delay it by just that much and then you come in. You might have something else you can do, and that's the best way to watch.
So you watch something like when I go home, I watch PTI.
Right.
Like at 8 o'clock when I'm having dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Then at 8:30, for instance, if I was a regular watcher, turn on American Idol.
Right.
You catch right up to where you are. Right. I mean, you just zip past the commercials.
Time machine.
I'm surprised.
And it is very addictive, too, to watch TV like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it is killing the sponsors.
Yeah, and I'm surprised. I mean, what else are they going to do, Buzz, besides put hidden messages?
Yeah,
I mean,
isn't TiVo. This is KFC is doing this to counter the fact that we have TiVo.
But I'm saying it's not only TiVo. It's DVR.
Right,
and
any of them.
Everybody's got it now.
I do think it will force television advertisers to get more creative, to figure out ways that you have to watch this commercial or you won't find out, you know, what's going on.
Or you will get more product placement.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the way they said they're probably going
to
do it, too.
And to use American Idol as they've done for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, isn't everything Coca-Cola on that show?
Yep.
And Ford?
More so this year than ever before. There's a big neon Coca-Cola sign that's part of the set.
And they've got the bottles, the outline of Coca-Cola bottles on the back of the couches that the contestants sit on, which I noticed last night.
Last night, Randy was sitting in a tub of Coca-Cola.
Diet Coca-Cola.
Of course.
Grandpa is no...
It wasn't Coca-Cola.
What?
It wasn't Coca-Cola.
Oh, my.
Mr. Jackson.
Grandpa is no longer with us, but at least we have these plastic pipes. In New York, four people have been charged with body snatching. They're accused of stealing the parts of over 1,000 corpses from funeral homes and trying to sell those parts to hospitals and transplant companies. In the case of...
Oh, come on, have a heart, Buzz.
In the case of... Thank you, I will. In the case of former Masterpiece Theater host Alistair Cook, they replaced his bones with plastic PVC pipes, the kind you use for plumbing.
You mean the guy from Masterpiece Theater?
That's the guy, yeah.
Wow.
And to fill the spaces left by stolen organs, they would stuff the corpses with their aprons and gloves before sewing the bodies back up.
That is so gross.
Investigators don't think any of the body parts were ever actually implanted. It doesn't appear that any hospital or transplant company bought any.
Excellent. Let's take him to the cellar. We can dispose of all the bodies at the same time.
A lot of us can't even begin to count the number of times we've heard, "I'm Christopher Glenn," in the news.
Never. I must warn you, my dear Sandra. I am accustomed to having my orders obeyed. Especially by women with a price on their head.
Sandra.
No more. Mr. Glenn, Christopher Glenn, retired today after 35 years with CBS, many of them doing Saturday morning news updates for
kids. Love that guy. I love that guy.
Anybody that watched Saturday morning cartoons, like at 2 minutes before the top of the hour, it would always be a little graphic of like a whirly going around the...
Wasn't it in the news?
Yeah, around the world, and it would be in the news. I'm Christopher Glenn.
I'm Christopher Glenn.
You ever wonder if the astronauts go to the bathroom in their suits?
And it had a great sounder at the end. It was like... Cha-da-dong.
And he's a guy that never really sounded old, because he'd do the recaps, the news recaps on CBS.
Always sounded young. In sports, as far as we know, it's the first NBA trade involving a registered sex offender. Reuben Patterson, who played for Seattle when he was arrested for trying to rape his children's nanny, is going to Denver. Where he'll have to register as a sex offender. Reuben's wife stayed with him after the rape trial until he was arrested for beating her.
Yeah.
Now they're divorced.
And that's a tough player.
Reuben,
good sandwich.
Reuben says he's looking forward to starting life over in Denver, quoting him, "I'm just ready to be happy."
And a good band manager.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a wonderful children's host.
Mm-hmm.
Paul.
Paul Rubens.
Rubens.
Thank you. King of the Rubens.
When we come back...
I just proclaim myself King of the Rubens. But,
when we come back,
yes.
That's not a burrito.
All right.
You.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been
so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don just flown by.
With an ensemble show, someone is going to be the spark plug. The Don and Mike program.
Thank you!
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Hey. Finally, in the Pittsburgh suburb of McKeesport, a man walked into a convenience store.
Hey, I've been there. McKeesport, PA?
Walked into a convenience store.
Quite a few times.
Handed the female clerk something that was wrapped in a paper towel and asked her to heat it up for him in the store's microwave.
What was it?
When the bell rang, she opened the door and smelled an odor that was unusual, even for a convenience store. She unwrapped the paper towel and discovered a guy's thing. Cooked medium well.
Oh, God.
The man who brought it then ran out of the store. Police are looking for him and or the owner of the thing.
Whoa. You're an idiot.
Whoa. Good night.
Oh, God.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Might as well have been one of those big bites.
Oh, God, that's awful.
You ever been in the... Uh-huh. And you see them in the thing, and they've been in there, like, for 4 days.
Yeah.
And like you go,
they're kind of off gray.
But some of you are like, am I looking at a burn victim?
Yeah, exactly.
But listen, if you're hungry enough and it's light enough...
Yeah, you know, and it's dark enough.
Eating ain't cheating. Mm-hmm. I think we got to go have a great weekend, everybody. Love you, Trita. Love you, Bard. Love you, Amy. We will be back on Monday. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you.
The secret is the free chili and cheese.
Yeah, you can't even taste it.
Right.
Yum, yum.
We meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.